radio station. This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
I'm the smart one.
Nuji.
I am never having sex again.
Peter.
You should see my bicep flex.
Charlie.
This guy's gonna hunt me down.
And Jeffrey.
I'll poop my pants every day, punk.
Streaming on roverradio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
Morning. What's happening? It is Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is not here. Dieter is here.
Yo,
you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER is the number. 866-967-6837. That's how you reach the show. Give us a call. You can text us at that number as well. That comes into the studio in real time. Tweet us. Put at Rover Radio somewhere in that tweet. That will come into the studio in real time as well. But the best way, give us a call. 866-967-6837. I'll get to email here in just a moment, I guess. Let me load that up here. Hopefully I'm not in Charlie's email still. Let me see here. Normally my email is printed out, but Doogie's not here, so
out again, huh?
That's right. I think she'll be back tomorrow, she said.
Did you talk to her? Did she call you?
No.
I can see her trying to get you to go to that.
What?
You knew my Aunt Rose.
Never met Aunt Rose.
Oh no?
No. Never met Aunt Rose, ever. Doogie's Aunt Rose passed away. That's why she's not here. But she'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be back to normal then. I have a wallet experiment that started today and ended today.
What's that?
Well, I like keeping my wallet in the front pocket, and you guys...
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's a very weird behavior. That's what you do on vacation, strictly.
Or like a concert where it's packed, people are bumping into you. Otherwise, it's always the back left.
Sitting on it, then, it'll give you spinal problems.
We gotta even it out, yeah.
Well, what do you even it out with?
Your phone or a pack of gum or something.
You put your phone in your back pocket?
I have before. I broke it that way.
I sit on a pack of Altoids to even myself up.
There you go. Yeah, get a big pack of gum. Yeah.
Sounds comfortable. Just sitting on a... tin can all day long.
Yeah, a can of Skull, that works too.
Yeah, that's good too. Mm-hmm. Anything. But in the front pocket, I mean, I just don't have a lot of space up there.
Well, I got to thinking about it after you guys were talking about this, or we were talking about this in my wallet. It is a little bit large, so now we know that your phone is listening to you and serving you ads all the time. I mean, it's just, we know that, right?
Without a doubt.
I don't care what they say.
At this point,
something's going on. So I started getting these ads for this Ridge wallet, which is like this weird, slim kind of card holder wallet.
Super thin, right?
Yes. I'll show it to you. I have one here, as a matter of fact. Carbon fiber, my friend. Here it is.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's just like a credit card.
And then it basically is held together by this elastic strap on the sides.
And get a rubber band.
It can expand out. You know? And then you have the little this elastic strap on this side for your money, which makes you a little bit nervous. I have one $20 bill in there. But anyhow, it's small. Not bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the carbon fiber part.
Well, you could get it in other colors.
No, I'd prefer leather or something. Something that bends a little bit. Just having this piece of metal or whatever carbon fiber is. I don't know what that is. Plastic?
I actually don't mind that because it's kind of just like a juiced up money clip. I've thought about getting one of those in the past. If, like Dieter said, if you go to a concert or something and you just need a couple bills, maybe a credit card and your ID. But that's got even more protection than that.
Well, it has too much protection. And this is why I will not be using this after today. Well, a couple of things. If you want to get a card out, it is sort of a pain in the nuts. It has a little thumb hole here, and you push up on this, and then you have to select what card you want out of there. It's sort of a pain in the ass, but I go, how often am I really getting into my wallet? Not too often.
Yeah, but if you're at the grocery store, time is very important. You got to move. If you're slowing everybody down with your stupid wallet, I'd be very upset.
Well, he doesn't go to the grocery store.
Yeah, so. I don't.
Oh, that's true. Okay, then you're all right then.
But this thing apparently has RFID protection.
No blockers.
Meaning, you know.
I've seen people can go by with like a backpack and have like a scanner in there and just go past your purse, your wallet, and get your credit card.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah.
I thought that was the whole point of the chip, though, was so that people couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, I think the chip, isn't the chip, I don't know, isn't the chip RFID?
I don't know what the chip is. I don't know what the chip sucks.
I don't know, but let me just tell you this. I don't find that to be, I've seen news stories on this in the past.
It looks easy.
I don't find this to be a particularly credible threat.
Yeah, I thought they actually had to scan it to get your information. That's what you have to look when you go to the ATM, make sure there's not a big plastic thing hanging off of it.
Well, no, like, you know how some of your cards, you can just tap your card at those terminals?
Yeah, okay.
That's the RFID, I guess, and they can walk by with some sort of, I mean, they have to be pretty close. They have to be.
Sure, they almost have to tap it.
Well, they have some sort of special scanner that they have to be within 2 feet or something.
All right, I guess that's a fear. I don't think I have any of those cards, though, that tap, so.
There's a major problem with that, though, and that is that this card, hold on, give me about 45 seconds to pull out this particular, card. No, that's my license. That's not the one.
Oh, I hate to say.
Here's the one. Here it is. This is my card that I use to get in and out of the door.
Oh, it worked.
Faded, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's blocked.
Oh, because of the blocker.
Yeah.
So now you actually pull it out every day.
I come up to the door.
It's freezing.
My wife asked me, she goes, you think that that's going to work to let you get into work? I go, yeah, I think so. She's like, you don't think it will, the RFID blocker will actually... I said, nah. I pull up to the door today. I go to get in. The thing doesn't work. I try it every which way. Sideways, this way, that way, every which way. Just doesn't work. So now, I have to pull out that card to get into the building. Then I get into the elevator. I come up. I got to pull out the card again to tap the door to get into the studio. Oh, does it suck.
Well, some people have that belt holder. It attaches to your belt and with a little string.
With a little zzzz.
Yeah, undo it and then let go and it goes right back to your belt.
Uh-huh. Is that what I need?
I've seen the engineers have it. Do you have it, Dom?
You go, boss man.
Oh, thank you.
Lanyard. Hey, sir,
Rover's Morning Glory lanyard.
You just wear it around the neck?
Yeah, it'd be cool. Why are you always trying these wallet experiments? You're always looking for a better wallet.
Well, I'm going to go back to my regular.
What did
wallet.
You have before? You had some credit card that was all credit cards and one credit card? What was that thing?
Oh, yeah. What was that thing called?
Slate?
Was it coin?
Coin?
I think I had two of them. I had coin and I had another.
Why do you keep trying for this? Just deal with the wallet.
Because technology.
None of this stuff's not ready for prime time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Need what
it's the
I
same
have.
Reason that these robot vacuums. I have 52 of those.
I have one it's got the ID in the back, and it's got like a holders and the thing. So it's like a little slide guy, no flipper. It's perfect.
That's not bad, actually.
This is the best. It's just the only thing is, the more cards
I can
you get.
Tell it's, here's what's going to happen with that one. Before you even say anything, you put the cards in there. That stretches that leather out.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually, then, you have to start putting spacers in. Yeah.
If you ever take anything out, now you're, all the cards in that thing are flopping around. They'll come right
my
out.
Baby, oh, yeah. My baby cracked. I mean, right here, if you see, this is supposed to be, it's supposed to be a closed little pocket, but it actually just opened, and it just cracked open. So this is supposed to be a pocket. Right. And yeah, I mean, that's what happens. It stretches out, but you get a new wallet like every 3 or 4 years.
Jeffrey is hovering. What is it, Jeffrey?
I just... With my wallet, I just hold the thing up to the sensor and it opens the door. Yeah,
that's a man's wallet right there.
Let me see your wallet.
It's a bill, see. That's a billfold.
Oh, that thing's huge.
What's that, cowhide?
Holy man, that's a whole cow. How many cows did it take to make that wallet?
I've had this wallet for years.
How long have you had it?
I don't know, Charlie, but I say I've had it for a pretty very lengthy period of time.
What are we talking, a year or
more than that?
A decade?
At least 5 years.
That's great.
I mean, it's still holding up.
Yeah, mine's kind of slim. Mine's a little bit different. It's called a paper wallet, but it's made out of Tyvek. So it's
looks like a flower purse.
Well, it's a camouflage. Yeah, but
for what? If you land in like a flower patch?
Yeah, camouflage flower. Yeah. Okay. So it's got all your cards and stuff in it.
You have to put camo on there after you have a paper wallet to just sort of, you know,
make it look,
man it up a little bit.
If it gets wet, does it just disappear?
It's Tyvek. So.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the same thing that they make the mailers out.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's heavy duty.
You can't rip those things.
No, you can't. It's pretty tough.
Now let me see the inside of that thing, Snitzer. What's okay. The inside of this thing?
Hold on a second. Yeah, see here. Yeah, the inside's got your credit card stuff.
And this is all made out of Tyvek as well, yeah. The inside?
It's got side pockets.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Paper wallet, what's the name?
Coolest one I would ever go to is that clip that's just on the back of your phone. It's just all in one. Have you seen that? It's like a wallet-phone combination.
I have seen that.
If you lose your wallet, you lose your phone at the same time.
You take your phone out, what if your money flies out or your cards? When you're taking it in and out of your pocket?
My phone is thick enough.
Right. I don't want it thicker.
It's getting too thick now.
Yeah.
Kyle, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Kyle.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, on them bridge wallets, if you push the cards out with your thumb with that little slot there,
yeah.
And then you pull all your cards out just a little bit, if you pinch that part where that thumb slot is,
yeah,
it opens up the whole wallet, and you can select your cards a lot easier.
Ah, I see. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit easier, I guess. I'm trying it right now. Look, that RFID thing, that might be a selling point to some people, but to me, it's a deal breaker because I can't get into the building. I have to now carry something else to have my card to get into the building because it blocks the RFID. And I haven't heard too many people go, I got hit by an RFID scanner. They got my credit card again. I don't know. Kyle, thank you. I appreciate it.
Your credit cards are always stolen, right?
You know, I got a new credit card.
Yeah, every week one gets stolen. Maybe they do that to you.
No. I got a new one, and this one, it's a different bank. I don't know what's going on, but knock on wood, haven't had any issues.
So how long's it been?
Over a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, my other one, I was getting, it was like every 60 days, they were sending me a new card a new card number, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Somebody called in, have you thought about taking your iHeart ID to get into the radio station and putting it on the clip on the outside so that part's not protected by everything else and you could still just swing it up?
Boy, that would make it look really ugly, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll try that. Still, boy.
That ID card is pretty weak, though. I had it on the inside of my stupid phone case, you know, just to, you know, so I just put my phone up there, and it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
The phone case blocked it. And it's just like a stupid phone case.
Maybe you have an RFID blocking phone case, Snitz.
Oh,
you sort of defeat the purpose, though, because don't phones have RFID built in so you can touch various things, the NFC or whatever the hell
the
it's
Apple
called.
Pay and stuff.
Yeah. Anyhow, let's see. Where was I? What the hell is this? Here's a guy that he's upset because I don't like Donald Trump, but I took President's Day off. Well, it is, I guess, only a matter of time until that is named Trump Day, yeah. I suppose, right? So if proclamation by Donald himself.
So if you're not really into the president, you shouldn't take President's Day off?
That's right.
I'm sure this guy wasn't into Obama. Do you think he took President's Day off?
I'm guessing he probably did. Let's see. Mike from Jensen Beach, Florida, says the guy from John Carroll who called in yesterday, dumbest guy he's ever heard on the show, Dieter.
I agree. What do you say?
Oh, the tax expert?
Two childs. He has two childs at home.
Phil writes, good morning, Rover. I just read an article about Al Pacino and his girlfriend, who have a 39-year age gap, have split. I've wondered if Dieter is interested in reaching out to him for a shoulder to cry on after your phenomenal interview with him.
Yeah, I could talk to him again.
Please stop that.
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah!
Please stop that.
That's okay. A good score. He's 79, she's 40. To pull that?
Wow, no kidding.
Did you see why she left him?
What'd she say?
He's a tightwad. He's an old man. The age was too much to get past, and yeah. That he's tightwad. He doesn't spend money.
You know how rich that guy is?
Basically, the only reason she's admitting I was with this old guy is for his money.
But
he doesn't spend
deal.
Any money.
I mean, yeah. That is the deal.
That is the deal. You're right. It is.
Maybe he just doesn't want to spend money on her. Let me see that photo again.
Yeah, maybe he knew she was a gold digger.
It sounds like to me, yeah.
He's worth $120 million, and he's a tightwad? And she's not even that
she's not
great.
That hot.
Yeah. He could get much better.
His scarf, you can tell his scarf is expensive. He must just spend money on something. That looks like an expensive scarf, doesn't it?
Suit. Got like a skeleton ring.
More iHeart app conspiracy. Giuseppe writes in about this. They keep trying to get him to listen to other stuff instead of my show. You ask Alexa to play my show. Just play someone else. They're playing a rap show now, Dieter. A rap show.
Does Sass Keith say why that happens? Do you ever ask him, like, what the hell's going on?
They're working on it. That's always the...
For the last year?
Jake writes, Yo, Rover, I love the show, and Jeffrey, especially, that guy's something else. I'm writing because I have a serious theory / question for you and JLR. Do you think that the real reason behind Jeffrey's dry spell could be because his wife refuses to go anywhere but the living room in their home? Obviously, they aren't going to have sex in the bedroom, in her bedroom, a.k.a. the living room recliner. And she has on multiple occasions approached Peter Bioluk in that room before, but Jeffrey turns her down because of the kids and the location. I think that could be the issue here. Jeffrey, does your wife... Does she refuse to go into any other rooms in your home?
Turn your mic on.
No, I was in my bed this morning. I was getting up, and she comes into my room, and she I said, well, my son was playing the piano in my daughter's room because my daughter has her keyboard in her room, so my son goes in there to play the keyboard and everything. My daughter was downstairs on the couch, and I go, well, Mary Elizabeth, if you love him so much, whip him out and do something with him, for Christ's sakes, you know? I don't think the kids are going to hear
she's
anything.
She's talking about her boobs? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I meant this.
Oh.
Johnson.
Oh. I said, well, yeah, whip him on, do something with him, for Christ's sake. He wants to come out and play.
And what did she say?
And then she, my son playing the piano in the room, she's afraid that, you know, my son's going to walk in on us. You know, that's always been,
that was,
and I said, I'm horny too. I said, look, I want to do something too. I mean, you keep talking to my penis. You got to do something with me, for Christ's sake. Otherwise, I always run this joke by her too. I go, the other way is he's going to jump off my body and run somewhere else.
Maybe you need some new material.
Jeffrey. I don't know, Charlie. I'm not a comedian like some people that we used to work on our show were, so. Okay.
Jeffrey, your son, this was all happening this morning, you said?
Yeah, this morning. My son was a little, my wife gets him up around 4:30 in the morning. What? And he doesn't need to get up that early.
What time do they go to school? 9?
Huh?
What time do they have to be at school? 8:30, 9 o'clock?
About 7:30, 8 o'clock.
And they're up at 4:30?
Why are they waking up at 4:30 and playing the piano?
Once they go to bed earlier than, you know, sometimes it's just how they are. I mean, they're...
Wait, it's this what?
Zoo.
It's a madhouse.
Right. It's not really a madhouse.
So he's waking up at 4:30 and playing the piano? That's how you wake up every morning?
Hey, I mean, he plays the national anthem, he plays the Marine Corps theme, he plays the Army theme, the Air Force songs.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
I would love to be your neighbors. This, hear this through the walls.
No, really, he doesn't play it that loud. So.
Painter!
So.
It's insane! It's absolutely insane.
Why did she get him up that early?
Well, so, they're up for school and everything. You know,
what time does school start?
I said between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. You have to be at school by 7:30.
4 hours early.
Well, hey, I mean, I used to wake up at 6 when I went to school.
Right, that's not 4 o'clock.
Is this why he sleeps so heavily at night? Because you guys wake him up at 4:30 in the morning.
No, he went to bed unusually early last night.
What time?
About 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Damn!
Yeah.
What kid goes to bed at 7:30?
Well, when you gotta wake up at 4.
Yeah. Okay, I just stay up late. Attitude.
This but is
I'm
insane.
Just saying, I'm just... Well, either way, he gets up, gets dressed, takes a shower, and goes off to school, and it's, you know.
Right, but all that takes, I mean, I used to wake up and get ready for school in 20 minutes, you know?
I'd stay up and watch Arsenio. What time was that on, like at 11?
11:30.
11:30.
Right, I'd stay up that late, and then get up for school a half hour before.
I would never have time to, like, have activities like learn the piano in the morning, mm-mm, right? Because you just, you time it to the second of when you want to wake up. What's the reason?
I don't, Charlie, I don't know. Why don't you try to get in his mind and figure that out?
Well, it doesn't sound like he wakes up. It sounds like your wife wakes him up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And I keep telling her, you don't have to wake him up that early. You don't need to be up that early. You know.
So is she, okay, has she even slept at that point?
You got to remember, I've told stories before where my wife would be up at night. Because of her, you know, like, when she was living with her mom and everything like that, so I think that kind of happened and kind of carried over.
So she hasn't slept, and she gets to 4 o'clock in the morning.
She gets bored.
She's lonely, so she goes and she wakes him up.
Yeah, like, her rationale is to get him ready for school and everything, and then after they've gone off to school, she goes right back to bed.
Now,
at least it's like I'm home from here.
I understand. So she goes to bed at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they're gone, yeah, she'll go right back to sleep. I mean, her sleep habits are not back to sleep
because she wasn't...
Yeah, to sleep. She just sleeps.
She goes to sleep at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. Does Mary Elizabeth wake up Val Ray at 4 o'clock in the morning as well?
No, my daughter gets up on her own accord. She knows when, you know, she knows the time to get up and everything.
So how
my daughter's not up that
this?
Early.
How strange it's is bizarre. This, though? That Mary Elizabeth only wakes up Tomash, her firstborn son, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
How could the daughter sleep through piano playing and Jeffrey getting in and on with his wife, I mean, at 5 in the morning?
My daughter was already up, laying on the couch, playing on her phone.
Oh, my God.
So,
it's insane there. It's absolutely insane.
Time doesn't matter there, I don't think.
I've got to take a break. We will be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. We'll be right back. Hang on.
iHeart Radio Station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeart Radio weekdays at 7 a.m.
Radio DJs get waterboarded.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Whiskey waterboarding, here he goes.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Yeah!
do you think it's like at just could you survive a day in Jeffrey's house, do you think?
Oh,
Peter?
Sure.
You think so?
Wake up calls at 4 a.m. for no reason.
Piano blasting in your ear.
It's like a silent movie there. Tomas is playing the piano. Mary Elizabeth chasing Jeffrey around, yelling Peter out and trying to have sex with him. And he's running up and down the stairs. She's crawling backwards up the stairs. There's rally cups on the walls, hubcaps on the walls.
Charlie Kraplin out there. I can't get over this. You know, Charlie says he doesn't wash his legs in the shower. We talked about this quite a long time ago. Says he just, you know, he lets them
ruminate.
It just, he washes his upper body and then it trickles down to his, guess it was your feet too,
no,
right?
Balls. Like, I wash. Of course I'm washing my balls.
Okay, but nothing below the balls?
I mean...
Thighs, calves.
I'll do a little thigh.
What about the feet? You ever pull your foot up to like your knee and wash it?
If somehow I step in a mud puddle that day, yeah, I'll get down and do that. But for the most part, no.
Which I find to be disgusting.
No, don't touch my feet.
But there's a new poll that says that people are doing other weird things in the shower as well. 1 in 3 people urinate in the shower. Okay.
I don't do that.
I guess
I do that.
I guess that is the semi-acceptable, I suppose.
The drain's right there.
No, I get doing it. I just don't do it. Before I get in the shower, I pee.
But what if you have to pee in the shower? It just hits you like, I got to go right now. Why get out? Just the drain's right there. It's just so easy.
My toilet's right next to the shower. I just aim from there.
Yeah, you could arc it.
So you stand in the shower and pee into the toilet?
It's never been an issue because I'm usually more conscious of how much I have to go to the bathroom before I get in the shower, but I probably could do it. I have confidence in myself.
1 in 4 people blow their nose in the shower.
Every time.
Not every time, but I certainly have. It seems to clear everything up.
Right, the warm air.
Yeah.
The warm water, farmer snot against the wall, it just goes right down.
Yeah.
Again, the drain's right there.
I certainly have done that, especially when you're sick.
I can't do a snot rocket. It just always lands on my face every single time. I cannot do it. So you just blow your nose in your hands?
Yeah, I've
And then you just wash it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I've never done
that. Basically just... No, yeah, it doesn't come all... You're right. It does some... Sometimes it doesn't just go out.
Every time I've ever tried it, it just flies out and then slings back... Like a bungee jumper right back onto my chin.
My big issue is it doesn't go down the drain. It gets caught. All the mucus like doesn't break down, so it gets caught on the grate, and I got to end up pulling it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even worth it.
How thick is your mucus where you have to pull it out from the shower drain?
Well, you got to think. If I'm able to launch it out with such velocity that it's not going to hang on my face like Charlie said, I mean, that is a thick booger, man. Yeah.
But wouldn't the warm water sort of...
It might break melt it after a while.
Yeah, I mean, it works like a little bit, but there's still some mass in there, man.
1 in 5 people spit in the shower.
Of course. What the hell?
Who does
it? I wouldn't have an issue with that.
I mean, you kind of get the water in your mouth. Exactly. I spit it out a little bit. It's like every single time.
I brushed my teeth in the shower before. You're in a hurry, just grab it into the shower and do it. Rinse the water out there.
I'm not hocking loogies, though. But I also wouldn't have an issue doing it.
1 in 20 people masturbate in the shower.
We've all been there.
By the way, 1 in 20, that seems like that's probably a low number. I have done it, but I mean, it's been years. I don't like doing it in the shower. Standing up and...
I don't mind the standing, it's just the water.
The water turns it to like a glue, a sticky substance. When you are finished, you'll never get that off.
And the water's not that smooth. When you're doing the business, sometimes you need more lubrication, like the conditioner or some kind of soap.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
No, I just, the water, for some reason, turns it into a, your male substance, so to speak, turns it into a tacky sort of thing like that boogery stuff they put on mailers to attach a credit card to a piece of paper. That's exactly, I mean...
It gets stuck on all my hairs, too. Just everywhere.
stuck that boogery stuff?
No, the what we're talking about.
Oh yeah,
the maid substance.
Your man substance.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I don't do that in the shower. But apparently 1 in 20 people do, which seems like a low number.
Is that ever or just like daily?
Like regularly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But here's something. 1 in 30 people crap in the shower.
No. No way.
How would you get rid of it? You just mash it into the
mash
drain?
Mash it into the drain, apparently.
Like you're stomping grapes?
You're
just sitting there?
Full-on dump?
I...
Never.
Find this to be... Who would do this?
Unbelievable. 1 in 30 do this regularly, or they just have done it?
I just 1 in 30 crap in the shower.
With his head down.
Dumb? No, Dom. You have not crapped
in
the shower.
Monster elephant dumps. Your drain couldn't handle it. You'd have to get a garbage disposal in the shower to get rid of it.
I believe I've actually told this story on the air before. I'm sure you guys don't remember. But back in the day.
15 years ago.
No.
It was after you ate 96 tacos, you crapped in the shower?
It was while I was married to my ex-wife, because I remember... I don't remember what happened, but I just remember going to the bathroom or getting in the shower, doing a regular shower, and I kind of felt a gurgle, and it was an instance where I thought it was just a fart, and it was way more than a fart, like way more. Like, thank God I was in the shower, or this would have been a major diarrhea, not diarrhea, just a messy accident. Because it just kind of kept going once it started. And
would you
was
stop
like,
once you pull the plug on it?
No, once it happens in there, you just kind of let it roll, man.
Well, you say it wasn't a diarrhea accident. You're telling me that you thought you had the fart and it wasn't diarrhea. It was
what?
Just like a
solid or liquid.
Middle ground there.
So a little bit of both?
Yeah. Have you ever had one of those? You're not quite, you know, just a loose kind of guy, loosey-goosey, you know?
You usually you can
so
tell.
Gross.
Well, you know, I thought I could tell. That's why I think maybe what was messed up is I couldn't tell what was going on with the texture down there. So that's why I ripped one. And next thing you know, I'm stomping on the drain.
Oh, my God.
Trying to get everything to go down. And thank God we have one of those things that those detachable shower heads, so I could get my toenails real good after that.
Oh my God,
make sure I got that really is clean.
So gross.
Hey, I think 1 in 30 of us, it sounds like, have been there. So,
but yours sounded accidental, right?
It was totally accidental, but
you kept going after the initial push. You kept pushing more.
Well, it was all done my legs, so I couldn't jump out and go use the toilet at that point, because then I have a
major
cleanup.
I'd say half accident, half on purpose.
What if your wife happened to
come in to do her makeup or something?
Come into the bathroom at that time. Were you worried about that?
No, I have no shame. I don't care.
But that smell in that shower, all that steam.
Oh, I don't know if you remember another time.
Yes.
There was a big pile on
in
the drain
shower
with a lot of steam in the shower.
I'll never forget that smell.
When Dumb was the recipient of a Cleveland steamer,
right
down in Miami.
You know how bad that smelled.
Oh man,
horrible. By the way, the 1 year anniversary of that was just last week. Someone emailed me.
Oh, gee,
congrats!
So, weird that I forgot that.
But 1 in 30 people apparently are doing that. Which, so you. Now, what kind of shower drain do you have? Was it like the kind that's a grate, or was it the kind that's just like a bathtub one that's like at a, you know,
not the plug on it?
Not the up down, a regular, like a circular, the little grate with the little circles, like the little circular
holes. Like a cheese grater?
Yeah.
Great, yeah.
Basically like that. And then you got to take your toes and you kind of like use
back and forth to kind of cheese grate it down.
Well, first you got to like stomp to kind of get them to like.
Oh, okay. It's like a Play-Doh factory.
And then the cheese, then the real smear starts. And then you realize you've smeared it onto the bathtub. So then there's a cleanup job. You got to clean the bathtub.
I mean, was this like a full on. You know, this was not. Like, you realized what was happening, so you stopped. You just basically
said,
"I'm
here."
Yeah. Oh, it was a full blown.
Full deuce.
Yeah,
full
you didn't blown have deuce to go, at that point. Afterwards, you didn't go to the bathroom and finish up because everything was done.
Nope, I was good to go. Just came to work.
Oh, my God.
You have to take another shower then when it's complete.
Yeah, it's a re-shower.
That re-shower
starts over at that point. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Just shower in your own stink at that point.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Zach, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Zach.
Morning, Rover. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, bud?
Nothing. I just know from seeing online that that's called a waffle stomp, to drop a deuce in the shower and then stomp it down the drain. It's called waffle
stomp. A waffle stomp. All right. I've never heard of that phrase, but apparently this has...
That is on Urban Dictionary, yep.
This has happened before to people. Jeffrey, you've been oddly silent in there. I'm guessing this has never happened to Jeffrey because he so rarely showers.
Unfortunately, I have been in the shower, and yes, one of the weird things that happened to me is that I'll sometimes have to pee in the shower. I mean, I don't want to take the time of trying to, you know, get out, get to the toilet, and step back in and enjoy the rest of my shower. So I just pee right in the shower and let the water and the drain take it away. So, yeah, I don't do any of the other weird stuff that you guys are talking about. Yes, and yes, I do wash my legs.
You wash your legs?
Yeah.
You never took a dump
never
in the shower?
I've never taken a dump in a shower. Thank God for that.
Not even by accident?
No, not even by accident.
So you've only...
I had a diarrhea accident.
Crapped yourself here at your place of employment.
Unfortunately, because I didn't get to the bathroom in time, if you recall.
Right, right. All right. So 1 in 30 defecate in the shower.
High.
Is that...
What was that?
What was that?
I thought it...
Man, he's practicing.
Oh, my God.
The mic picked that up?
God.
Why? You just forced that out?
No, I forced it out. It just happened.
No, that just happened.
I crapped at the last commercial break.
I saw your face squinting.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I fought it.
God, get out of here.
The control he has.
Oh.
Oh, he's not waving it at Charlie's.
Hey, I mean, we have to keep up the room's reputation.
It's like a skill you have. What'd you eat last night?
Oh, we did burgers and potato salad with a side of potato salad.
That's
last
egg
night.
Salad. Do you have egg salad?
No, potato salad. Not the mustard kind either, regular type.
Oh, how old was the potato salad?
Huh?
How old was the potato salad?
No, I got it from the store.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was it expired?
It wasn't expired.
Disgusting in there, Charlie?
It's thick. It's so thick.
It's like mustard.
You can almost feel it.
Mustard gas. Mustard gas.
I thought it was mustard, not turd, some stuff like that. I don't know how you want
to. Mustard is what you thought.
I thought it was mustard.
Mustard.
Right, mustard.
Mustard?
No, I try to say it like how you'd say it in Boston. Mustard.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's just the way
how
I
do they say
it
in France.
Way I naturally say it. So, anywho.
Do you guys see... Snitzer, I sent you this picture last week. I don't know if you guys saw this. Jeffrey's arm from last week. I forgot to ever mention it.
Snitz. Let me see.
See this?
Oh, what is that?
What is that?
What is that?
On his hoodie, he has some brown sort of crust. Oh, my God.
What is that,
wow,
Jeffrey?
That is a dried crust on the...
It was...
Right below the shoulder, on the side of his sleeve.
And the color. What color would that be?
Turned brown.
It's brown. Is that possible, Jeffrey?
How would it get on the shoulder, though?
No, it looks like dried toothpaste.
Wait,
oh, brown.
Dried toothpaste?
That's why your teeth are brown. Use brown toothpaste. Oh!
No.
Dried toothpaste.
We use this toothpaste to get at the dollar store called Close Up. It's red.
But that's not.
No, this is brown. This is clearly brown. Are you sure you're not using ketchup as toothpaste?
I don't know. Who knows? I could have actually spilled ketchup on myself when I was eating. You never know.
That's not... okay, that's just straight up brown. Jared, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How's everybody doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, so, yeah, I just wanted to give you some backlight on a different country's setup for toilet use. Basically, I lived in China for like 5 years, and some of the higher-end people had actual flushable toilets, but a lot of the people that I would go to visit, they would have these bathrooms that were basically just added on to another part of the room, like there was no private door or anything like that. And they would have like a water heater hanging from the wall and a hole in the ground, and they would have to pee and poop on the floor, and then they could take their shower from that same water heater and just basically let everything kind of flow down into that hole.
And
it would be like the worst smell in the world.
Where would the hole go? Where would the stuff go after it's in the hole?
They had no filtration system or anything like that. It would just kind of flow down through the building however many times it had to collect, and then it would end up in the drains down like in a ravine behind the building or something like that.
Charlie and I went to China.
China?
And it is the most despicable smell you've ever experienced in your life. You take... Yep.
It was a full village of people, probably a couple thousand people, I'd say, all shared one single bathroom.
Yeah, it was like outside. A community bathroom, yeah. And it was just holes on the ground, and you would squat yep. over this, and we had to go in there to pee.
And we were drinking right. at some brewery, so we're peeing a lot, and it was so terrible.
Oh, my God, you've right. never smelled
anything like this. And when they wipe, they have to put it in a basket off to the side. They can't put it down in the hole for fear of clogging the hole.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's you're probably right.
Your business over top of this hole, and there's a basket to your back right or left.
I mean, there was definitely no flush in the hole we saw. It no. did have like some no. sort of metal feet, like it's like a metal hole. But other than that, there's no yeah. water. I mean, there was nothing. Was
you might get lucky and find a ceramic hole, but either way, there's no. Usually, there's no running water or anything. Like
yeah.
that.
Oh
now, what
God.
The hell were you doing over there for 5 years, Jared?
I actually helped own a bakery company. We made wedding cakes and things like that and had a lot of fun doing it.
In China. Now, can't you have, like, a bakery here in the United States?
It was easier to do it in China. Here, there's a dime a dozen bakeries. China. Over there, that was kind of a new concept. You know, it really took off. It was really great to see that grow.
In other words, Jared... worked for the CIA. That was his cover.
Yeah, this is yeah, I mean, really yeah. bad van that just said bakery.
Bakery? I mean, I was a baker making wedding cakes. Yeah. All right. Jared, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was really that smell. Dieter, you remember the smell of when Dumb was the recipient of the Cleveland steamer.
I was gagging. Yeah.
Imagine. That you go into a bathroom and that's the smell, like a public restroom. That's exactly what it's like in China. That, I mean, China. Wouldn't you say it was that bad?
Well, I wasn't there for the Cleveland steamer, but I've smelled a turd out of the toilet before. And yes, it is just straight feces everywhere. I was so disgusting. It was atrocious. I mean, it was absolutely despicable was the right word.
I
couldn't believe anybody was living like that.
I think we only used that bathroom maybe twice, once or twice.
Well, the first time we went in, we didn't know what we were experiencing because right. you walk through, if you ever walked into a walk-in cooler and it's got those plastic things coming down the door.
Like curtains.
Yeah, that's what you have to walk through for some reason. So you're getting, and you see it's just smeared with just stickiness and pee and poop, and you have to kind of open that up. And the first time we went in there, we didn't know what to expect. Afterwards, we were trying to hold our breath.
So the second time, we were at this little tiny brewery that's about the size of this studio. And it was in, I don't even know how you explain it. Like, we're in Beijing, in a neighborhood, but there's like people just living in huts and the road, it was a dirt road. It wasn't, yeah. it was like in the middle of a city, but it wasn't paved. And so the second time you go in there, you stand outside of the bathroom and you take as deep a breath as you possibly can, you run in there, you pee, and try to get out before you, I mean, there's no washing your hands. Were there even sinks
no,
in there?
No, and you wouldn't even want to, because, again, you have to touch those plastic things to leave. You're just going to be covered in poop again.
What if they had any running water in there? You know, the first guy that goes in there is immediately just going to use the sink and ruin it for everybody else.
That's true.
Jake in Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jake.
Morning.
Hey, what's up?
So I don't have a story about pooping in the shower, but I do have one while I was deployed to Afghanistan. So I woke up one morning and my stomach was gurgling. So just like every other person, I decided to fart, and I didn't think anything of it. 2 minutes later, happened again, and this happened about 5 times. And finally, I started to feel like a breeze, which wasn't normal, underneath the blanket. So I ripped the blanket off, and I stood up, and I had crapped all over my bed. and as soon as I stood up, it released the floodgate.
Oh, my God.
And it just started flowing out of me. So I'm in the process of putting my clothes on and running out of my tent to the porta potty, which was about 50 meters away, in broad daylight,
with my finger up my butt, trying to make sure I didn't crap all over myself. Finally made it there, and then had to walk back to my tent, covered in poop, to get clothes to go to the shower to wash myself off. It was a pretty horrific mess.
I would never make it in the military where you have to live like this. You know?
Yeah.
You're living in a tent, basically, and the guy next to you is crapping himself. You know? I mean. I wouldn't be able to take that. Jake, I appreciate it. Thank you. I have had, for the past two nights, as a matter of fact, I've woken up about 45 minutes early, and I've had to go downstairs, take a dump. And it's weird. Do you guys do this? If my stomach is gurgling in my sleep, I start having a dream that I am like in a public place and I'm crapping myself.
No.
You know, this doesn't happen to you guys ever? Never?
No, I just wake up and I'm like, oh, I got to go. But it doesn't affect my dreams.
What about you? You guys?
Yeah, I for sure had. I don't remember what it is, but yeah, you could feel it in your dream like you're just, you got to crap and you're running around looking for a toilet. And then you go, oh, I got to wake up.
And then you actually wake up and you're like, oh. Here's someone who says, have you ever been to New York City? The whole city smells like a toilet. Are you kidding? Compared to China? I mean, I've been to New York City many times. It smells like roses compared to China. The stench in China is indescribable.
Yes, and there's just a fog of smog. Livy, you can't see further than like a half a mile in any direction because it's just so filthy.
Yeah, and I see how this virus over there is just spreading like crazy. There's next to no sanitation over there.
They act. I mean, we always act like it's some superpower. You go over there and it's just
oh my god,
things are just falling apart,
literally falling apart. Like they would build a building or a bridge, and it would be brand new. It would be like a year or two old, and the thing would just collapse and kill a bunch of people. And it was because everyone there is so corrupt. All of the government officials, they're on the take. They'll take a bribe and they'll let someone, a contractor that bribed them, build this thing, and they don't know what they're doing and they cut corners, and it's a disaster over there. It sucks. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Heart Radio Station. WMMS.
Relationship status.
Are you doing this because you just want to have sex with me?
Yes.
Complicated.
We're good friends.
Just end it.
It's not good.
This is Rover's Morning Glory.
We have talked about the bail reform in New York State, where essentially, Dieter, you get out of jail immediately if you are arrested, if you commit a crime. Unless it's murder or forcible rape. Those are essentially the only two things that you don't immediately get out of jail on.
And you hate this.
Oh my God, it's insane, isn't it?
Well, this is a new thing, right?
It just went into effect at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And many of these people, they get out of jail, and what do? They go back and they commit the same crimes. One guy keeps robbing banks. He'll rob a bank. They arrest him. They put him in jail for 4 hours. After they arrest him, they then let him out. What does he do the next day? Goes back, robs another bank.
Because he knows he's going to get out.
Yes.
I would do the same thing.
Sure.
They're criminals.
Here's a guy, Charles Berry. He's 56 years old. He's been arrested six times since the beginning of this year. That's six times in the past. He's getting arrested once a week. Six times in the past 6 weeks.
Wow.
He is a subway thief, where he will rob people or steal hundreds of dollars from people. He'll like pickpocket you or take your stuff. You put something down, this guy grabs it, take your wallet right out of your pocket, whatever.
Oh, he's not just jumping the turnstile, he's robbing people?
Robbing people. That's right. And he was arrested for the sixth time this year and immediately let go. He's been arrested a total of 139 times. He told reporters as he was outside of the police station the other day, last week, he said, bail reform, it's lit.
It's lit?
It's lit.
Lit.
He loves it. He can't get enough of it. It's the Democrats, he says. The Democrats know me and the Republicans fear me. You can't touch me. I can't be stopped. He was arrested last week. He was held in custody for about 24 hours until they take him in front of a judge, at which point he has to be released without paying any bail. He had two warrants out for his arrest for missing previous court dates, including one back in January when he snatched a $50 bill out of a woman's hand while she was trying to buy a Subway card. He just ran up, stole the $50 right out of her hand.
Damn.
So he had missed his court dates for all these other arrests. They can't even hold you on that, Dieter. He walked right out. Bail reform.
But eventually he gets convicted, right?
What's that?
Eventually he'll get convicted of these crimes and then he'll go to jail.
I don't know. Will he?
He's been arrested how many? 139 times?
Bail is just until you go to court. You pay bail until you go to court.
Yeah, but you have to show up in court and the guy has missed his other court dates.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, because why would you go to court? And he'll be sent to prison. So that's why he probably avoids showing up for court because you know that's what's going to happen. So he can keep doing what he's doing because of this bail reform that's going on
so
in New York.
When you don't show up for court and then you're arrested again, that's not an offense where they can keep you held in jail because you missed a previous court date. So essentially, you just never go to court and keep getting arrested, and then they let you out.
I think the next time you get arrested, though, they would say, all right, you missed your court date, and then you'd go to court,
he
right?
He already had two warrants out for his arrest for missing court dates,
Charlie.
Okay.
That's
right. And that's not enough to keep you in jail. So you have a warrant out for your arrest for missing court. You would think, well, if you're arrested, that's going to... Or if you come in contact with the police, you have a warrant out for your arrest for missing your court date, that's going to keep you in jail, right?
Yeah.
No!
Well, I'd say for the most part, bail reform is good, other than there's some outliers like this guy, of course. I think they could change some things. If you've missed your court date, then they could hold you. But for the most part, if it's just minor offenses and you're not a danger, you're not hurting anybody, I don't think you should just be held just because you're poor.
He has 21 missed court hearings.
Okay, then that's something like that. I don't think maybe that's wrong here, of course. And they should keep that guy. But I'd say for the most part, a lot of people are in jail just because they can't afford bail.
Okay, but the reason why we have bail is to make sure that you show up in court. So if you have nothing, if you haven't put anything up that's going to be lost, you have... Not a lot of motivation to show up to court where you know you're probably going to be convicted, Charlie.
It's really unfair to poor people, wouldn't you say?
No.
The rich people can pay to get out. They can put up their house or something. These guys don't have that.
Well, can't you get bonds to get out?
Yeah, but you don't have the money to make you usually pay 10%. You don't have money for that.
But rich people can also afford high-powered attorneys.
Yeah.
To help them with their criminal cases.
That's not great.
Does that mean that poor people, we should subsidize all legal representation? Everyone should get the high powered.
I don't like your point.
$1,000 an hour attorney.
I don't know if $1,000 attorney, but it should be fair when you go to court. You think that's weird that it should be fair when you go to court that the guy that can afford the $1,000 attorney is going to get a better sentence than the guy that can't? It's skewed to rich people.
I think
just said it is.
No. I think that it should be fair. However, your attorney, I think, helps determine the outcome. You have a better attorney that knows the law and is going to spend more time on your case. Probably you're going to have a better outcome,
right? It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that where a rich person gets off easier because they're rich. The fact that you're even defending
they're not getting off easier.
They are, though.
You use it as that
example. Yes, you use that as an example, saying rich people get off easier. They do. You know this for a fact. To say anything else is being disingenuous right now. You know for a fact rich people get off easier.
In life, money buys you things. The more money you spend, the nicer car you get, correct?
I get that, yeah.
Does that mean that for every poor person has to be driving around in a Lamborghini now in Charlie's world?
Didn't say that at all. You said that rich people get off easier. I'm agreeing with you.
It's a fact of life that if you have an attorney that is a brilliant attorney, he's probably going to know the law and spend time with your case, and you have a better shot.
It shouldn't be like
at
that,
a
though.
Good result for you, the better attorney that you have, as opposed to the guy who's getting has 800 cases, public defender. Yes. He has 2 minutes on each case, and
you like the system like that?
No, I'm just telling you it's a fact of life.
That's what I'm saying, too. We're agreeing right here. And it's not fair. I don't think that should be how America works.
Well, how would you solve that problem? How would
I change
problem?
It? I'm not a law genius. I have no idea.
Take a wild guess.
I'm not sure. The public defenders, maybe we need more money for public defenders so there'd be more interest in lawyers to
Charlie's
join that profession.
Charlie's only solution would be to devalue money. Money has no has no place in our world.
Your solution
today
is poor people should go to prison because they don't have as much money as you.
That's what it is.
That's what you just. Yes, you like the system because you have money. You could afford an attorney.
Right.
But you wouldn't like it if you were one of the other people out there. You wouldn't be so flippant about this and rich people get off. That's okay with me.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't like, Charlie. I wouldn't like to be buying my Subway card and have a $50 bill in my hand and some guy who's been arrested 139 times.
I agree.
Come up and snatch that $50 bill out of my hand and run away.
That guy should be locked up.
I wouldn't like that.
Yes, that guy should be locked up if he keeps doing it.
He told reporters last week, I'm famous. I take $200, $300 a day of your money, cracker. You can't stop me. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. They punked people out for BS crimes, whatever that means. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Yeah, this guy should be locked up. But if I'm saying he should. But I'm saying other people, I think it's bail reform has probably worked for a lot of people so far.
Matt, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Rover. Yo.
Yo, what's happening?
Dieter, yo.
Yo!
So I'm a probation officer here in Northeast Ohio, and this is one of the, you know, biggest things that we've, ever experienced in criminal justice reform. And, you know, Charlie's right, Rover. You know, bail reform does largely affect people of color and people that have no money. Now, I know the one guy that you're mentioning, the 130 times he's been arrested, he really is the exception to the rule. You know, I don't really like the fact that he continues to get out, but, you know, we in this industry are holding our breath to see how this movement works because, you know, in the United States, you're still innocent until you're proven guilty. So you lock somebody up because they're poor and they may end up having that case dismissed, or after they've sat in jail for so long, they've languished in jail, they've lost their jobs, they've not been able to pay rent, they've lost their families and stuff. This is inherently a good thing, but, you know, we're holding our breath.
I don't know if it's a good thing, Matt, because, look, this guy, sure, he might be an outlier 139 times. He's getting arrested once a week. But there are plenty of people that are not outliers that have missed one or two court dates that haven't shown up. And then they pick him up. They are eventually arrested, and they've already missed two court dates, and they're released.
This guy deals with this. He's a probation officer. But when you lose your job because you're sitting in jail, like you said, what are you making? You're making a criminal. He gets out, and he's found not guilty. He goes, okay, I'm not guilty now. I've been out of work for 3 months. I don't have a job. He's going to turn to a life of crime or something.
But to say innocent until proven guilty, yes, that may be a fact, but they... they also impose things on you before you have been found guilty. For instance, as Matt knows, if you are accused of a charge with a felony, they take your guns away. Now, you haven't been convicted of a crime, correct, Matt?
Right.
Why take someone's guns away if they're innocent until proven guilty?
Well, Rover's going to be it's going to be based on a risk assessment. They're going to try to determine.
No, it's not based on any risk assessment. If you're charged with a felony, your guns are taken away.
Correct.
Right.
And if you're not convicted of that felony, guess what? You're going to be able to petition the court, and they're going to be returned to you.
I know, but you just said that. Well, in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty, so you shouldn't have to pay bail and languish. But you're innocent until proven guilty when you're charged with a felony. But they still take your guns away. That's my point.
It's different than jail.
No. It's
yes, it is.
It's not different. I don't have guns. Certain things, yes, you are innocent until proven guilty. However, we do things to ensure that you show up for court. For instance, we take money from you to make sure that you show up.
Lots of people
give you an incentive.
Lots of people can't pay that at all, so they're just sitting in jail. And then they're proven not guilty.
There's other tools to use other than the money. It never statistically has resulted, if you pay bail, you show up in court more often. Most people show up in court.
Wait, Matt, hold on.
Show up in court.
So a bail bondsman, statistically, you're telling me they have a motivation to come get you if you don't show up for court because they put the money up. So they come and they find you and they get you to court. You're telling me statistically it doesn't help to get people to show up?
A bail bondsman, you're still paying money and stuff. If you eliminate the financial end of it, there's other tools. You can use electronic monitoring. You can use GPS monitoring. You can use day reporting tools where they have to call in on daily basis and stuff. Again, this is something new in the system that we're just learning and trying to work our way through. Again, statistically speaking, money has never been tied into appearances in court. It just doesn't add up. And what the movement is we're trying to establish through risk assessments, through, you know, different types of tools that are available in the industry now, does this person pose a risk to go out and cause somebody, victimize somebody else, or put somebody's life or you know, bodily harm at risk? And if it doesn't add up that they're going to do anything other than, you know, maybe low-level offenses and stuff, eventually they will be in court. Eventually they'll have to face, you know, the music, but... You know, again, you've got that situation.
In the meantime, this guy's been arrested 139 times. He's robbing people literally every single day. The police resources wasted picking this guy up, arresting this guy once a week, filling out the paperwork, holding him in the jail for 24 hours and letting him go. It's obscene. It's ridiculous.
I wouldn't disagree with that, Robert. Honestly, I wouldn't. He's you know, supposedly the exception to the rule. Now, this is something new, and I know in both coastlines, in New York and California, they're pretty liberal as far as how they're applying this rule and stuff, but courts across the land are looking at, you know, people's income levels, their demographics, and does person putting down money equate to them showing up to court? Again, statistically, it hasn't supported that.
All right, Matt, thank you. I think if a bail bondsman puts that money up for you, they're going to come find you and get you to go to court. So I think it does statistically help out, right?
Yeah.
He's in the industry, I believe him.
There are a lot of people in the industry. There was the guy who started the Weather Channel doesn't believe in global warming, Charlie.
You don't believe that either.
So, you know, he's in the industry. He's in the industry, Charlie.
Hey, do you believe that guy? Do you believe in
global warming?
I do.
Okay. So why don't you listen to that guy who's in the industry?
He just owned the Weather
Channel. He's a meteorologist. You're not.
What does he have? He's a TV guy.
He's a meteorologist. You're not. He's in the industry.
And I remember you believing that guy.
Because someone is in the industry.
You fell for that.
Doesn't mean.
I believe him more. I believe the guy in the industry.
They know everything about it. Okay, so believe that guy who started the Weather Channel.
You do.
And
do you still believe that guy?
Global warming doesn't exist.
Do you still believe that guy?
I don't know. Look, I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know. It's possible. Who knows? Will in Rochester, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I actually wanted to let everyone know that bail reform's not for the victim. Luckily, I have a pistol permit and carry it, but not 2 weeks ago, I was assaulted by a man with a crowbar. If I would have had him arrested and went and filled out all the paperwork, now that bail reform goes on, they don't black out any of the victim's personal information on the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
He would have got out of jail and had my personal information and address to come to my house with me not there, my wife and child alone, and do whatever he wanted, just like the guy who already got out on assault and went back and killed his victim once he got out.
Why did you get attacked with a crowbar?
2 weeks ago.
What happened?
Henrietta, New York. I was at work. I was plowing. Guy had a semi-truck. I told him he couldn't park in the parking lot I was plowing because it's residential. Yeah, and he flipped out because I told him that, because he said he lived there for 2 years and could do whatever he wanted, and he was going to do it. I told him if he did it, I'd call the police and have his vehicle towed. And from there, he started punching my work truck, trying to break the window. And then when I opened the door and hit him with the door, because I was going to make him stop hitting the door, he went to the compartment in his truck and pulled out a 3-foot crowbar.
Uh-huh. And then what? Did he hit you with it?
No, he swung it at me, but I pulled my gun and told him that he should back up or something bad is going to happen.
See, there you go.
And then what do you do?
Charlie doesn't like carrying guns either. He loves bail reform, hates guns.
I'm a 2A supporter. I was in the military for 15 years. I think Cuomo in Rochester in New York is an idiot trying to make every liberal happy he possibly can.
Well, look, I happen to be a liberal, and I think that this is nuts what's happening in New York. And as this guy who was on the phone earlier, other states are going to take a look. Get ready. This is coming to your state, too. You're going to have a bunch of maniacs running around on the street with no repercussions for anything they do, because they get out in a matter of hours and they go right back at it. It's crazy. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory, 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. Hang on.
An iHeart Radio station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeart Radio weekdays at 7 a.m.
Come for the pain. Stay for the laughs.
Stick around and you'll never believe what'll happen next.
Rover's Morning Glory.
There's a guy who's sending me these weird text messages about a slumlord who's trying to evict him. If you're that guy or girl, I don't know, call in. I want to hear this story. This person, Dieter, claims that they had no running water and they had to crap in a bucket for a week.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And now the slumlord is trying to evict them. I got to hear this story.
Crapped in a bucket?
Crapped in a bucket. That's what they say.
Because he has no water, so he's not paying his bills.
No running water. You can't flush the toilet. No,
I understand. Well, you could crap in the toilet, and then you just pour water in the back, right? But where would you get the water, I guess?
Yeah, you have no running water.
I'd go buy some.
Rick in Rochester, New York, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, Rover. Yo.
Yo, what's happening?
Dieter.
Yo.
All right, so I've been in corrections as a correctional officer for the state of New York for almost 13 years for both state and county, and I can tell you firsthand that the statistics you're hearing is probably only half of the actual number of people that we are arresting and turning right back out.
So it's not, some people go, oh, these are outliers, these are, This is you're only hearing right, extreme cases.
You're hearing the most extreme of extreme cases, but we've got a lot of other people who are right behind them in the most absurd offenses who get turned around just as often. I mean, people are kind of upplaying those few, but there's a lot more than just those few.
So you could just in theory here, the guy who called in, he was from Rochester, said that a guy tried to attack him with a tire iron a week or two ago.
Crowbar.
A crowbar. Okay. So if a guy hits me over the head with a crowbar, Rick, he actually will just get arrested and then turned loose a day later. Is that accurate?
100% accurate. He's going to get an appearance ticket, basically a slap on the wrist that says, hey, you need to show up to court so that we can do your trial. And I know Charlie earlier mentioned something about, well, these people aren't a danger to society. The people who are a real danger are being put in jail. No, they're not. I mean, manslaughter is one of those charges that you get turned right back around on the street for here in New York now because of bail reform. Yeah.
Then that needs to change. I think that they went too far with the bail reform. But
it's just imagine, I mean, it's easy in theory to think about these sorts of things. And you go, oh, this guy, that guy, whatever. But imagine if someone attacked you. You're out in your driveway and someone attacks you and hits you over the head with a crowbar. Wouldn't you be furious if that guy was released 12 hours later? You go, wait a second, this maniac just hit me with a crowbar over the head.
And he
should
come
be
back.
In jail.
He might come back.
Yes. This is the kind of stuff people are living with.
There's already been a couple of cases like that where the guy attacked his ex-girlfriend and the boyfriend, got arrested, came back the next day, and beat up the dude even worse for calling the cops on him.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. Rick, thank you, I appreciate it. And that New York won't let you carry a gun to protect yourself, God forbid. It's nuts. The guy who claims he's being evicted by a slumlord is on the
All right.
Matt, good morning. All right, so I've been reading your texts here, Matt. I don't even know how you started on this slumlord thing, but what's your story? Hey. What's happening?
Hey, Rover, thanks for inviting me to call in. I emailed you a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, about the story. I've lived here for 15 months. And I'm a disabled person. I have PTSD and a couple other things. Nonetheless, never been late, 15 months. The hot water tank explodes. I had to bail out all the water, and she had it rigged to where you couldn't just shut off the hot water tank. You had to actually shut the whole water off in the house.
Okay.
So I had to live without any water for a week. Why she shopped contractors around, and I had to crap in a bucket and use the bathroom in a bucket.
Wait a second. And, hold on. So let's just unpack this.
All my utilities are current. All my utilities are current.
All right. So you've been living in this, what is this, a house? You live like in a duplex? What is it exactly?
It's a cottage.
Okay, a cottage.
Cottage.
So, it sounds so quaint, doesn't it? A cottage. All right. So you've been living there for about a year and a half. You mm-hmm. claim you've never been late on the rent at all.
Never once.
Okay. So why is the slumlord trying to evict you?
I think, I called the health inspector and had him in here, mm-hmm. and he called her. I think that's why. I think she's trying to get me out of here to avoid dealing with... there's black mold in here. There's mice are living in the walls.
Jeez,
they're crawling in my cupboards and pooping. Oh. And it's been like 2 months and no one's done anything.
Why do you want to live there?
I don't. But there's limited places to live in. It's the middle of the winter. And my truck is actually, I've been working on it. It's still broke down. So
how much are you paying for this place, if I may ask, Matt?
$750 a month plus all utilities.
That seems right, high.
Now, hold on. You're claiming there are limited places to live. At $750, I think you can find a place without the mold and the mice and the
crapping
and poop in a
bucket.
Well, that's what I intend to do. And a very nice man called me yesterday about a possible house in Sheffield. So hopefully that can work out. But... you know, sadly, I do have a friend who's an attorney, but he's too good to deal with, you know, low level stuff like this because there's no money in it.
But hold on. So if you want to move somewhere else, why don't you just move somewhere else? Forget the eviction. Just say, okay, I'm going to go find a place for $750. You should be able to. Charlie, don't you think you should be able to find a place?
Yes, easily. I mean, other than the first month, last month, and the security deposit and stuff, I mean, that's kind of pricey up front, but If you have that, you should just leave immediately. If somebody's making crap in a bucket for longer than 12 hours...
No, period. If you have to crap in a bucket once...
I want a judge to hear it.
Can you walk through the bucket, you take a dump in the bucket, then what do you do with it?
You got to put a lid on it, because you can't dump it outside. It's illegal.
But how do you... how do you shower?
You don't.
Well, how do you wash your butt, because you're crapping in a bucket?
You don't.
Well, then you got to get out.
Okay, so hold on a second. So,
I have water. I have it. It's fixed now.
All right. Yeah, it's fixed now, Charlie. But okay, so for that week, so what kind of bucket was this? Like one of those 5-gallon paint buckets?
Yeah, the whole from Lowe's. Yeah.
Yeah, like a Home Depot, the orange 5-gallon bucket. Yeah. Okay, so you crap into this bucket, you put the lid back on. Now, let's say you have to take a dump 16 hours later. Do you take the lid off?
You just put your new bag on the top and poop in it, let it fall down.
Oh,
so he's pooping in a bag.
You're bagging it.
Okay,
into
that
the,
makes more sense.
Okay, so you're bagging it. I see.
Now, what did you do with all
then,
the turds?
And then you tie up the bag and you just drop it into the bucket, or do you throw it out in the trash?
I just drop it into the bucket.
Now, what did you do with all the turds in the end of this and for the week?
I flushed them down the toilet after the water came back
But
on.
You said there were bags. Did you de-bag the turds?
You had to open up the bag and put your turds into the toilet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something you don't do. You make her do that.
I didn't smash them in the drain in the shower. Walk.
No, I think you throw that bucket and you put that bucket on the side of the road somewhere.
Yeah, just leave it at a construction site. Yeah. Let them find out.
I'm a lawful, law-abiding citizen.
Uh-huh. And all right. So it seems does this story is it adding up to everyone here?
Yeah.
Seems. Out of sheer pride and having to go with the week without water and all this other stuff, I refused to pay the other half. I mean, I had to go get a hotel or something. I mean, wouldn't you think after a week?
Wait, so hold on. So you only paid half your rent for the month?
I paid half the rent, and I expensed out the other half to her. I said, you know, it took you 6 days to get the water fixed. Should have been done in 3 days. I'll give you that. So... I put $250 for hotel rooms, and I forget what the other was.
But did you actually stay in a hotel?
No.
Okay. So how could you charge her for a hotel room?
Because he should have. The fact that he just stayed there, yes, you don't have to pay your whole rent if you're crapping in a bucket for 6 days.
If I would have had a way to get to a hotel, I would have went there. Mm-hmm. But instead, I had to have dirty bunghole. And no water and crap in a bucket.
There's a dirty bunghole fee of 6 days, and that's about $250.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, Matt, let me know how this turns out.
Wait, so he's still living there?
He still lives there.
He needs to get
out. She's trying to evict him, and he wants a judge to hear the case.
Why are you going to fight staying there?
Why?
Does someone want to pay for a moving truck and, you know, help me move all my stuff?
How much stuff do you have?
I've got a lot of stuff.
Well, how you live in a cottage, right? How big is it?
I probably have a small U-Haul filled to the brim.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, can I ask? U-Haul is how much for a day?
It's like $100.
Yeah.
I have nowhere to take it I don't know where to move it.
Apartment shopping.
Yeah, I got a place right here. It's an apartment over in here on where you live at, and it's.
I have a dog, and I can't live.
This guy wants to stay. He loves his cottage.
Yeah, seriously, man.
He's got a lot of reasons for not wanting to leave.
Just leave the cottage, man.
Yeah, this is less than $700, and it has a pool and a view of the lake, and he still would rather poop in a bucket all day. Yeah.
Help him move today, man.
I'm all right on that.
What's the PTSD from?
Quite a few things, actually. I've had a lot of trauma in my life. The worst thing is I actually have a bachelor's degree, from a university, big deal. But nonetheless, I got in a car accident. This guy in Denver almost killed me. I'm lucky I'm alive. Got a really bad concussion out of it, and I haven't been the same since, let's say.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well,
Matt gets crazy and acts up.
Yes.
I'm like 100 times worse than him.
Oh.
100 times.
No wonder they're trying to evict you. I bet if I talked to this landlord, I'd hear a lot of stories about Matt acting like
we should get
a
the
crazy
landlord.
Lunatic.
Robert, we should get the landlord on the phone.
And I could... here's what I'll do,
ruling.
Matt.
Judge, yes. Rover.
Judge yes.
Rover.
Yes. Judge Rover. Here's what I'll do, Matt. I'll put you on hold. We're going to get a hold of the landlord, too, and maybe we'll have the two of you come in this week. I'm sure we'll have to send like a limo to pick Matt up. He has no way to get around. And then I'll listen to both sides of the case.
Did you get the text that I told her she's a hermaphrodite and she has no estrogen?
I did, and that's when I decided I should talk to this guy on the phone. Thank you for reminding me of that. Because
why do you say this?
He's like, oh, my landlord's a slumlord. She's crazy. And then he sends me a text message. I told her she's a hermaphrodite.
Uh-huh. When you push me over the edge, when you poke at somebody, eventually they bite back.
Well, you bring out the big guns,
yeah.
Hermaphrodite.
I don't like fighting people. I'm a peaceful person.
Is she actually a hermaphrodite?
I will stand up for my rights. She also told me that the trash was included in the rent. And the first week I moved in, I need an extra $50 for the trash.
$50?
That's shady.
Pretty expensive.
That's
how
expensive.
Often do you have to pay that?
I said I couldn't afford it. So I've been just hauling my garbage to my mom's house.
I do
Wait,
that.
So you said real quick, you said you were taking your turds. Oh, you were putting them in the toilet. All right, you weren't hauling the turds to your mom's house. Never mind.
He's probably putting all his trash, grinding it up, putting it down the toilet,
That's
too.
Probably it. She's going to flush him out.
Yeah. All right, Matt, hold on the line here. Take his number, Flatitude, and get the landlord's info from him as well. And let's have the two of them come in. I'll issue a ruling.
And it's final, whatever you think.
It's final, and whoever whoever wins, it will be just like People's Court. We'll pay it right out of our show budget, which we don't actually have. It will be out of my pocket. So if he wins, we'll pay for him to move to a new place.
Okay.
Help him move.
But she wants him evicted.
If she wins, I will issue an eviction notice. And I'll pay her the half a month of rent that he didn't pay.
Okay, all right.
All right.
But part of the court records, Rover, you got to bring in Exhibit A,
yeah,
the bucket turds. He crapped in.
We need to see the bucket.
That's Exhibit A.
A picture will do.
I think we need to see it, inspect that. It. We need to dust it for fingerprints.
There's something, there's got to be more to this.
There always is.
Right? Something. Is going on there. Charlie, do we have the top five songs in the country?
Oh, yes, you do.
All right.
Let me check, make
They're
sure.
They're all, believe. Here's what you're going to, we haven't done this
in a long
quite a while.
Time.
Here's what I predict the top five songs in the country are going to be. Post Malone,
of course.
And four guys that sound just like Post Malone. Have you realized this trend yet, Dieter?
What about Lizzo? She's got to be in there.
She might be in there. I don't know. But there's a lot of Post Malone clones out there. Have you not heard
No,
all of
I think
these?
I just think, oh, that's Post Malone.
Yeah, there's every song you hear on the radio is a Post Malone clone. I'll play you some of these. If they're not on the top five yet, I don't know. Are we up to date, Charlie?
Yeah, it's up to date.
All right. Number five. Tones and I, Dance Monkey.
Say, dance for me, dance for me, dance for me, oh.
You heard this song before?
I have.
Never seen anybody do the things you do before.
I hated this song the first time I heard it, and it's still really annoying. But now I'm kind of into it. It's kind of catchy.
I
make you do it all again. I said, oh my God, I see you walking by.
Number four. Maroon 5, Memories.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones that
Yes, Dom.
My son loves Maroon 5 so much. If I never hear another Maroon 5 song again for the rest of my life, I will be so happy. I don't know what it is about this band. I've never been into this band, but my son, he's like you, Rover. He loves super poppy music, Pink. Like, he's really, really... And I like pop music, too, but something about Maroon 5 I just can't stand.
Yeah.
And he just loves it. Every time they're on the radio, turn it up as loud as you can. Let they have Maroon 5 playlists for him.
How old is he?
He's 11.
Okay.
Kim and Tomash can share dresses, maybe. You know? Listen to Maroon 5, play the piano, and...
Oh, my son doesn't even listen to Maroon 5.
Okay. Number three is Post Malone, Circles. Number two is Drake and Future. Life is good.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you, feels
you like
us.
This?
Right. Man, a house in Rosewood, it's not bad. Too plush.
It's cool, plush. Man. Got red bottoms on. Life is good. You know what I mean? Like,
$100,000 for the cheapest ring on the finger. Look,
yeah.
I'm flew one out of Spain.
And number
Future jumps in. It's good.
Was where the dance monkey broke her?
I don't know. And number one is Roddy Rich, The Box.
The whole damn field, I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deals, we been trapping like the 80s. She said that.
All right, that is the number one song in the country right now.
No, say slack, slack.
Banger. People love this track.
It's a banger or is it a slapper?
Oh, it's whatever you can think of, okay. Man. Everything and more.
Where the stash at? Cruise the city in a bulletproof Cadillac. Cause I know these have to wear the bag at. Gotta move smarter, gotta move harder. Try to give me
I don't like this at all.
Oh, I like it.
No.
Does it grow on you?
This kind of slaps, Rover.
It's different.
All right, what are the top rock songs in the country?
Hot rock song is this one still.
This has been like 2 years, Charlie.
Yeah, I know.
At least.
I mean,
we like saw 2017 it came out.
We saw them perform this at Jimmy Fallon, remember?
2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
This is insane.
Mainstream rock songs, we have Theory of a Dead Man, History of Violence. And rock airplay is Billie Eilish, Everything I Wanted.
I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. But when I wake up, I see you with me. And you say, as long as I'm here. No,
now, what's your verdict on Billie Eilish? You like this?
Don't like any of it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
It's really made for teenage girls.
And that's it.
If I could change the way that you see so.
Just depressing.
Bad Guy was interesting. This is just slow and I don't know what this is.
Oh, this is upbeat for the rest of her stuff. Like you heard that Bad Guy. That was you know, okay. That grew on me. But the rest of it is so. This is upbeat for the rest of it.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, my God. Charlie, you got to listen to some of that stuff. Oh, man, it'll make you want to kill yourself.
But what's the point of this music? Like, girls drive around to this or they party to this?
Just be sad in your room.
Yeah. Okay, and just stare at the wall?
Yeah. Be sad
okay.
about it.
Okay, I
you
get
hate
that.
Your parents. You hate boys.
Okay. You hate books. You hate
everything.
Life. Okay.
Yes.
You just sit there and smoke.
And look at Instagram and just go, ugh. Why are they having so much fun? Yeah. Yeah. They suck. Charlie, I'm going to give you two songs here. I'm surprised they're not on the top five.
Okay.
Because I hear them on the radio nonstop. And let me, should I give you a minute? Or maybe you have them. You must have them. Because I said they all sound like Post Malone.
Yeah.
Arizona Zervis. Do you have this? Roxanne.
Okay.
This is just, it's like Post Malone, but not Post Malone.
Either people love this one too.
Another slapper.
It's a banger, not a slapper. Oh, okay. Get it straight.
Right. Oh, this was in the top five.
What's that?
It was in the top five, not this week, but it's already been in the top five.
Doesn't this sound just like Post Malone?
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same.
A little bit. The singing. It's
what about? What's the other one that kind of sounds like Post Malone? This one sounds more like Post Malone. The Hot Girl Bummer song. Have you heard that song, Dieter?
Hot Girl Summer?
No, nope, Bummer.
Black Bear?
Yeah, Black Bear.
I don't know this one, I don't think.
Oh, I think you might know this one.
Oh, God. I heard this yesterday.
Me too. I'm through. This that hot girl bummer anthem. Turn it up and throw a tantrum. This that hot girl bummer anthem. Turn it up and throw a tantrum. This that throw up.
Now is this a slapper or a banger? Flatitude?
I don't know. This song's all right. People do like it, but I mean,
they dance to it or slow dance?
No, I mean people just like jam it to it. But I do hear people play in the club. But I agree, it's got like no up tempo at all. Black Bear's, he's been around for a while, though, because I think he did stuff with MGK way back in the day, so at least around here, like, more people know of him.
Yeah, my daughter asked me to take her to go see him, like, 4 years ago, and I went online and listened to his music, and every other word was a curse word, so I was like,
said no.
Yeah, no, you're no way.
And that's why your daughter hates you?
Well, no, she loves me.
Ryan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ryan.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
Not much. I was just wondering if you could read the lyrics to that Roddy Ricch song. I used to think it was funny when you used to do that. It is a banger. It's a great song, but the lyrics are just so dumb. I think it'd be funny if you could read through those lyrics.
No, this is an art form, Ryan. These lyrics, they spend a lot of time and energy. This is deep meaning. I'm sure that it's probably just over your head, Ryan, if I were to guess.
Yeah, probably.
All right, maybe I'll take a look at those lyrics.
All right.
Thank you, Ryan. This is it, the Roddy Ricch.
It's the instrumental.
I don't know the lyrics.
Oh, we'll print them out. You want to print them out?
I don't even know the song, so it's hard to read the lyrics
something,
to the
something
song.
Something in the box. Do it, man.
It's just The Box by Roddy Ricch.
Madtude knows it. Sing it. Hop out the coop in the box.
I'm trying to think. I honestly don't know the words to it. I only know like the melody. Pulling out the coop in the lot. See, I don't know. I already lost it.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Pulling out the coop at the lot. Told them F-12, F-SWAT. Busting all the bales out the box. I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick in a box. Pour up the whole damn seal. I'ma get lazy.
Pull up the whole damn seal. I'm gonna get lazy.
You gotta hold that one.
Yeah, I got the mojo deals. We've been trapping like the 80s.
80s.
Alright, hold on. I'm just reading here. I'm just reading. Okay, she sucked an N-word soul. Say slat slat. I won't never sell my soul, and I can back that. And I really want to know where you at. Yeah, this is good stuff. What's the box?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is the box?
Is it what we think it is?
A girl? Yeah. Well, he said he was gonna stick it in the box, so
yeah,
that speaks for itself. As for the rest of the boxes,
oh, it's a bunch of different boxes.
I have to assume, yeah.
Okay,
maybe he's like a mover. He has a job.
Okay,
UPS or something.
It's a slapper there. All right. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
I just hit a link with the box. Had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole damn seal. I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deal. We've been trapping like the 80s.
Radio station. WMMS.
Rover's excited because the show is expanding to a bunch of new cities. The rest of the crew is busy researching the age of consent in those states. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
There was a case. I'm sure people in Florida have heard of this case. I was reading about this. I don't remember this at all. Back in the beginning of 2018, a 17-year-old boy was spending the night over at a guy's house, and there was also a 13-year-old boy that was spending the night over there. It was his birthday. And the 17-year-old got angry and stabbed the 13-year-old to death.
Oh. At a sleepover?
Yeah, at a sleepover. This is a crazy story. The 13-year-old was spending the night over at his friend's house, and it was like, oh, Mom. And the mom's like, I want you to stay at home with me. He's like, but Mom, I want to go over to Timmy's house or whoever. She lets him go over there. It's his birthday, 13th birthday. They already sang him happy birthday and stuff at home and gave him cake, whatever. He goes over to the friend's house. The friend has an older brother who has a friend over there who's 17. This guy, it's a guy's name. Corey Johnson, I think, is the guy's name. And he waits until everyone is asleep. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. He gets up and he starts stabbing people. He kills the 13-year-old. He stabs the kid that lives there. He stabs the mother. Oh, I mean, man. He's stabbing like numerous times.
So the kid's having the birthday party. It's his older brother's friend that does this?
Yeah.
Who's the one doing the stabbing?
The 13-year-old, it's his birthday, but he's spending the night at a friend's house.
Got it. Okay.
All right. And that friend, who's also probably 13, has an older brother who's about 17, and he also has a friend over. And that 17-year-old friend, he waits until 4 o'clock in the morning. He wakes up. And the mother woke up and heard some sort of commotion, comes out of the bedroom, and this 17-year-old kid stabs the mother approximately 12 times.
What set him off?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
And then the kid who lived there, he goes to protect his mother. He gets stabbed 30 times.
Oh, man.
And the 13-year-old whose birthday it is, who's spending the night over there, he's just stabbed who knows how many times. He's dead.
Mm.
Turns out that this Corey Johnson, he waited until about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he decided, I'm going to kill all these people in their sleep. He did this because he had converted to Islam. And he felt that the kid who lived there made fun of his Muslim faith. And the 13-year-old boy, he didn't like the 13-year-old whose birthday it was because
he likes famous people. And famous people are like gods, and that goes against his religious belief. So he just decides, I'm going to stab and kill everyone. Now, here's the interesting, well, if that's not interesting enough, and what a horrible, horrible thing. Could you imagine you send your 13-year-old over to someone's house for a sleepover on their birthday? You don't expect they're going to be stabbed to death.
They don't come back. Is this a white kid doing the stabbing?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people died? Just the 13-year-old?
Just the 13-year-old, I believe.
The mom survived after getting stabbed 12 times?
Here's the... Here's a picture of the kid. This is a news story. You want me to play this? This, I think, might be back from 2018. Let me see if this will play.
Dramatic new details in a stabbing spree that rocked the exclusive Ballin Isles community. CBS 12 is bringing you team coverage.
This was not a random act.
A teen's chilling confession.
Stabbed the victims because of his religious beliefs.
The murder charges he faces and the warning signs ignored.
We received urge officers to use caution if contact was made. This information was received from the FBI, was involved in a joint investigation, and the school district police.
The news starts now.
CBS 12 News starts now with breaking news.
Now at 5, a sleepover turns deadly. This is the view of the crime scene from high above from Sky Team 12 at the home in the exclusive community of Ballin Isles, where a teenager stabbed 3 people, killing one of them. What happened inside? A nightmare. Police say a 17-year-old guest went on a stabbing rampage and killed another guest who was there celebrating his 13th birthday.
The teen went further, also stabbing the mother and son, and now he is charged with murder. Police say the teen said he did it because of his Muslim faith. CBS 12's Michael Buchner begins our live team coverage tonight outside the Palm Beach Gardens Police Department. And Michael, you actually learned the FBI is also involved in this investigation.
Yeah, Linda and John, I can tell you police here in Palm Beach Gardens tonight not calling this an act of terrorism. Instead, they're referring to it as just a brutal attack. Meanwhile, I can tell you we learned late this afternoon that this teen suspect has been on the FBI's radar for months.
But we understand that he has been watching violent videos, which may have some link to ISIS.
Palm Beach Gardens police say 17-year-old Corey Johnson, seen here in court today, confessed to brutally stabbing 13-year-old Giovanni Sierra to death during a sleepover in the exclusive Ballin Isles neighborhood early Monday morning. Johnson was an invited guest at the sleepover, as was Giovanni. Both boys were friends with the boys who lived there. According to the arrest report, Johnson told investigators he woke up Monday at 4 a.m., read the Quran for courage, then cut the teen's throat. A mother sleeping downstairs heard the commotion and went to help. That's when police say Johnson attacked her and her 13-year-old son, stabbing the boy 32 times.
Corey Johnson has confessed his actions to our investigators, stating that he stabbed the victims because of his religious beliefs.
Police say Johnson converted to Islam and told investigators that he stabbed the victims because of his Muslim faith. Court documents show during his statement, Johnson told investigators that Giovanni Sierra was idolizing famous people and referencing them as gods, which went against the Muslim faith. He also claims that one of his other victims, Dane Bancroft, made fun of his Muslim faith and the fact that he prayed and kissed the ground, according to court documents. Police say Johnson also confessed to watching internet videos about Muslim jihadists that encouraged death of non-believers just one day before his alleged attack. Palm Beach Gardens police claim the agency received situational awareness last year about Johnson and that he had been on the radar of the FBI and several other local law enforcement agencies.
The information we received urged officers to use caution if contact was made.
I can tell you tonight we are still working to get more information to learn more exactly who this teenager is and his interaction with police. We could tell you a judge ordered him to.
Well, he's a lunatic. Yeah. This 17-year-old. That's who he is.
Over 30 times. Could you even imagine stabbing somebody like that? That would take like 2 minutes.
I mean, it would take a while. Take a minute, probably. 30 times. You just have to be in some sort of crazy Islamic rage.
Trance.
The reason I bring this up now, so this happened in 2018. Do you even remember this? I don't remember this.
I never
happening.
Heard it.
I'm sure in Florida, a big story, but this didn't really, unless we were on vacation or something, yeah. Then and it didn't and missed this national story. Anyhow, the reason I bring this up, that 17-year-old, he bought the knife that he used to do the stabbing at a Publix grocery store. He's 17 years old. He bought the knife, I think, just the day before or the same day or, you know, pretty close time frame to when he actually carried out these stabbings. And now, the 13-year-old boy who was killed, his family is suing Publix grocery store, saying it's their fault that this Corey Johnson, the 17-year-old, who went on his fanatical murder spree, it's the fault of Publix for selling him that knife.
Is this a pocket knife? Is it a cooking knife?
I think
knife?
It's like a kitchen knife.
Kitchen I knife? Saved
like
the
a
news,
butcher knife.
The okay. News story on this, too.
I'll play that news story. But look, I got to, before I even play the story, unless I'm missing something, I don't know how in the world you blame Publix grocery store. The kid's 17. It's not like he's 5 and they sold him a knife. He's 17. A kid could walk in and buy a baseball bat. Would that be illegal if you buy a bat?
No, of course not.
You can commit murders with a bat, too. What about a hammer? Could he go into Home Depot and buy a hammer dealer?
Of course.
Okay. Well, that could be used as a weapon. Should Home Depot be responsible if he uses a hammer?
No.
It's lunacy.
He could have a home ec class in high school. You're buying the knife for that? For home, if it's a kitchen knife.
Is it a law that you can't sell the weapon, or is it like a store policy? Because think of, you can't say the kid's 17, you know, he's going to be 18 in a month, we sold him a pack of cigarettes. That's not legal.
True, but the law firm claims that there's some, the wording was that there was a rule in Florida. We have rules in Florida to keep the public safe. I don't know if there's an actual law that says you can't sell a knife to a kid. I think that's a key thing. You got to let us know if that's the case.
I think they talk about that in the news story.
All right, here it is. Let's listen to this news story.
So the law in Florida states that you can't sell a weapon to anyone under the age of 18. That includes a knife, with the exception of a pocket knife. But this lawsuit and video we just obtained shows a minor was able to purchase a knife that he later confessed to using to stab and kill one person and injure two others.
I don't know what was in the mind of Corey Johnson when he killed my client.
But attorney Brian Lebovic is certain of one thing. 17-year-old Corey Johnson shouldn't have been able to buy a 6-inch stainless steel knife at Publix. Why? Because it's illegal.
We have rules in Florida to keep the public safe. In this case, one of these rules is to keep knives, dangerous weapons, out of the hands of children where they can hurt themselves or they can hurt others.
The store's barcode system didn't flag the cashier to require age verification, according to the lawsuit. In this video, you see Johnson walk into the grocery store, buy the knife, and walk right out. The same knife that Lebovic says he would use to kill Giovanni Sierra. Sierra was celebrating his birthday when he was stabbed 42 times while he was at a sleepover at his friend Dane Bancroft's home in Ballin Isles. Bancroft and his mother were also stabbed.
When they took this knife and they sold it to a 17-year-old, all the damages that stem from that sale are now the responsibility of Publix. If Corey Johnson would have been older, they wouldn't be responsible.
That's the basis of this 12-page wrongful death lawsuit filed on behalf of Sierra's family.
Publix facilitated the crime by providing the dangerous weapon to a person who should never have had a dangerous weapon.
In a statement to CBS 12 News, Publix says it would be inappropriate to comment on pending litigation. Before the attack, Johnson was on the FBI watch list. Reporting live, Stephanie Valderrama, CBS 12 News.
All right, so Publix won't comment, but I'll comment.
Okay.
Publix is not at fault here. I don't know what the law is there in Florida. What is defined as a weapon? Does it actually say you can't sell a knife to a 17-year-old? Or when they say you can't sell a weapon, are they talking about firearms? Again, a hammer could be a weapon, correct?
Yes, but it's got to say knife. No knives under 18.
What about a baseball bat? I'd love to see. What is the actual law in Florida when it comes to this? Because I find it hard to believe they have a law that says you can't buy a knife. Because if you can't buy a knife, you can't buy anything else.
Well, I couldn't buy spray paint when I was 16.
That's not a law, probably. It's, you know, maybe it is. I don't know. It might just be the policy
lighters,
of that store.
Lighters I couldn't buy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's laws.
He didn't even have to buy it, though. He could have just went into their kitchen and grabbed any chef's knife that they have laying around and did the same thing.
Well, then would that attorney have sued his own client then in that case?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. Here's why Publix is being sued. Because Publix has a lot of money.
A lot.
Tons of money. They figure they can sue Publix. They don't have to win. Publix will just pay them out because they want it to go away. And they're probably right, unfortunately.
So let me lay this hypothetical on you. So yeah. What if there was somebody, you got to be, what, 26 to rent a car? What if somebody was 24?
Not necessarily. There's no law that says that. They could rent you a car at whatever age. It's the policy of the rental car company of how old you have to be to rent a car.
Okay, well, I always thought it was a law. But so let's say it is a law that you're 26. If somebody rented a car and they mowed down a bunch of people, but everything else checked out, I mean, the kid's got his license, everything like that, you don't think that whatever that car company would be has the right to be sued for that?
If there was a law. But there's no law that says
but
that.
But there's a law against this.
There is a law. I'm looking it up. Yeah, you can't sell a knife to a kid.
Give me the law, Charlie.
A person who sells, hires, barters, lends, transfers, or gives any minor under the 18 years of age any dirk, electric weapon, or device or other weapon other than an ordinary pocket knife without permission of the minor's parents or guardian or sells, hire, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it's illegal. Pocket knife. That's the most you can sell. So it is illegal to sell a knife.
It's also a law about the 25-year-old to rent a car.
And where?
Everywhere. United States.
The United States, you have to be 25 to rent a car? That's a law?
It says minimum age requirement for renting a car in the United States is 25 years old.
As a law? Are you sure?
Snitzer's
going to bet on this.
Let me search real quick.
But it's not from a rental place. It's from a list.
A list? What list? Where's your source?
I don't know. Google. There's 1,000 links to it.
But is it a law that you have to
yes,
be?
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, I'm right.
State, what's the statute number?
United States.
No, what's the statute number?
United States?
Naked States.
Naked what? States?
United dummies. Jesus Christ. Give me a good mic.
Matt, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Rover. Quick question for you. Just kind of a grander scale of what you're talking about, but doesn't this kind of make a case that gun control does not work? I mean, at some point, all the weapons, you can't get rid of them all, right? And, like, this kid went in and bought a knife, albeit illegally, but... You know what I'm saying?
Well, there is a limit.
If this guy bought a gun, think of how many more people he could have killed.
50 people. You know, so if you can buy a gun, should you be allowed to own a Stinger missile, a bazooka, grenades, a nuclear weapon? I mean,
a dirty bomb.
No, I know. It's kind of a grander scale. But what I'm saying is, you know, this kid went in and bought a knife, right, illegally, and I don't know if they should be suing the victim should be suing the grocery store or not, but the case is, I mean, at some point you can't get rid of everything that can do people harm, right?
You could try to make it so they can't do as much harm though, right?
Right. So Charlie, if you move out of your apartment, so forget about gun control then. If you move out of your parents' house and you wanna furnish your kitchen of your new apartment, you shouldn't be able to buy a knife at 18. That's ridiculous.
No, at 18 I can buy a knife.
I thought he said 25. I apologize.
No, that was Snitzer confused.
Snitzer had this car rental, and he told me to use the Google, Charlie, and I did use the Google. And
he said
Google
the United
says,
States, the naked states.
It varies by United States.
It says the minimum age requirement when renting a car is 25. However, most major car rental companies allow drivers below 25 years old to drive a rental car as long as they pay the underage driver fee and meet all the requirements.
Snitzer, explain that.
That's exactly what I said, yeah.
Way off.
So I don't know. Maybe is it state by state? I don't think there's like a national law that says you have to be 25 to rent a car, is there?
I don't think so.
I'm not a lawyer. Who knows? I don't know. Terry in West Palm Beach, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, good morning, you guys. I live in Florida, first of all. Not that that has anything to do with the story, but I wanted to make a comment. I don't, let me preface real quick. 2 years ago, my 19-year-old son was driving on the interstate, and he was run off the road and had the car flipped. He had a traumatic brain injury. We almost lost him. And we were never able to find, you know, the person that did it or ran him off the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I'm bringing that up is because as wrong as I believe really the parents or the family is to sue Publix, they're just angry and they're just trying to find a way to come peace or whatever, you know, financial issues they had because of this. They maybe couldn't work. They're possibly sure. PTSD, you know, and they're just grasping because I can tell you right now, if we had somebody to go after, I mean, thank the Lord my son lived. But, you know, everything that went along with that injury and what we've gone through the last 2 years, we still have problems because of it.
How old was your kid when he was involved in this crash?
19.
All right. And so how did you learn that someone ran him off the road or whatever? Did he tell you this?
There was a
surveillance.
No. He there was a witness.
I see.
And they pulled over and there were two cars tag teaming each other, trying to pass each other and messing around on the road. And Tyler was just in the wrong place at the wrong time and he went off the road. But the witnesses, it happened so fast, they couldn't get a driver's license number. But thank the Lord they were there because he was in a ditch, and who knows if anyone would have ever found him.
Now, what happened to him? Like, what are his injuries? What's wrong with him?
They had to remove part of his skull cap in order to let his brain swell properly because his brain was so swollen, he flipped so many times. He had a vertebrae, one of his vertebrae broke. His lung was punctured, spleen was punctured, a few other little minors compared to everything else, but the main thing was the brain injury. He had to have surgery for that, so he went without his skull cap for about 2 months until the swelling went down.
Geez.
And he couldn't speak, he couldn't use his right hand. We spent, you know, several months in rehab, inpatient rehab, then we had to come home and do outpatient rehab for several months. He's now, you know, epileptic because of it. He's seizure prone. Unfortunately, after he healed and got his license back last summer, he was driving. He had a seizure while he was driving. Thank the Lord again. God's looking out for him somehow.
Can't drive anymore now.
Well, for at least a year. He's got to be seizure free for a year. So, and now it's been, you know, almost seven months. So we're hoping. But, you know, as a parent, he's 20. He'll be 22 in March. I can never be at peace that he's going to be okay, you know, once he's driving again and whatever. But
Terry, I recommend you sue Publix because the person who ran him off the road probably shopped there that week. Just saying.
But let me qualify that with I'm just saying that I wouldn't go after somebody that wasn't at fault. But I just wanted to say I understand why they're doing it. It may not be right, but in their mind, they're angry. They want help. They feel like they deserve something because of their sorrow. I just understand it. Yeah. That's all. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Yes.
Because we tried. We fought, tried to find whoever we could. I'll be honest.
Of course.
Because, I mean, the financial burden that this has put on us and what it's done, I mean, everything that it's done to us has been, you know, terrible. It messed up our business. We couldn't work. We had to, you know, stay at the hospital with them, you know. So I get it.
I think you should sue Enterprise Rent-A-Car. My understanding is that they rented a car to Schnitzer, my video producer, who was an elderly man, and that they should have a maximum age that they rent cars to. Because they're such a danger on the road, Terry. Thank you.
Never had an accident. Nice try.
What if they had a maximum age, Snitz? Would you?
It wouldn't be 51.
Should there be a maximum age, though? So I looked this up. There's there is no law for 25, but some people are saying that there should be a law, a maximum age.
I don't think a maximum age just outright, but I think at a certain age, maybe 51, you have to get retested yearly. 51 years. And you just have to retake the test every year just to prove.
Not only your eyes, but what I think some sort of personality disorder.
Make sure you don't have the road rage.
Road rage, right. Yeah. That you're going to have some sort of snitz fit and freak out on another driver.
Yeah, just get a self-driving car. Fix that problem.
Any day now.
You're dead.
I think they're all going to be released next week.
You're a loser. I will freaking choke them out. I will kill them. F you.
I've got to take a break. We will be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
An iHeart Radio station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeart Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Your life doesn't get better by chance.
If your life had a face, I would punch it.
It gets better by choice. Choose Rover's Morning Glory and improve your life. Kind of.
I've been eating like garbage, you know, for the past pretty much when I left to go to Oktoberfest in Germany, I've just gone, forget it, right?
Why do it? Why torture yourself?
I was like, I think about 172 pounds or something when I left for that trip. And I got down for that trip. I was eating good. I was exercising. And then I'm like, well, I go on this trip. All bets are off, right?
It's
who wants to go on vacation? And then I went on vacation.
You're eating like three chickens a day, right?
Oh, I just...
Full chickens.
Just... And drinking and eating.
Yeah, having fun. Living life.
Then I got back and I'm like, well, I guess I'll have to go back to... eating better and maybe exercising, but so this week I'll just stuff my face and I'll eat ice cream and everything. And then that's just been pretty much since I got back. I go, forget it. Why? I at some point though, I do have to get back on the train of eating better.
Were you eating where you're like, this is over the line?
I haven't gotten there yet, but
you knew, like, but okay, this is bad.
Yeah.
What were you eating?
Because
sometimes you order two or three desserts, and you claim B2 wants them, but since she doesn't eat them, so you say she'll have this, I'll have this, and then they come out, and then you eat them all.
She hasn't been. When we go out to dinner now, she hasn't been drinking because she's on that
Accutane.
Right. So you're not supposed to drink alcohol.
Oh, I totally forgot she's on that.
So this brings an interesting conundrum when you go out to dinner. I order a bottle.
Oh, you still do? Champagne. I drink
the whole thing by myself.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to waste it.
No. So now I don't know how many calories a whole bottle is.
But I can tell you.
It's got to be quite a few. Then you have a big meal. And then I figure, well, I've gone this far. I might as well have dessert. I mean, what's another 800 calories on top of what I've eaten?
570 calories in a bottle of champagne.
Oh, that's not bad. Really? That's it?
That's it.
That's not bad.
Wait. Is that just a... Wait, that might be just a... No, a bottle. Yep, 25 ounces, 570 calories. Yep.
I thought it'd be worse. That's not bad. I mean, that's five beers.
95 calories per glass.
That's not bad. Anyhow, so normally, the best thing for me is to eat non-processed stuff because it's really hard to. I mean, you can't be fat if you eat non-processed. It's just impossible. Anyhow, but I haven't been doing that by any stretch of the imagination. And so I normally don't even drink like Pepsi or Rockstar Energies or anything like that, but I do have a big supply of 5-hour energy that I've had in my house that is just probably like a year. Now, it doesn't expire until March, so I have about another 2 or 3 weeks left before this expires, but I just opened up this 5-hour energy. It has so much gunk on the... can you see that?
Oh, yeah, it's black.
It's just so much of the gunk, like, I don't know, somehow the juice got in, like, to where you screw the cap in, and it's just all, it's like tar. It's total tar.
Is it like syrup?
It seems to, well, no, the inside, it looks like the liquid is normal.
Is the liquid a clear liquid, or?
Yeah, it's got a slight tint, but it's pretty clear. Yeah. Do you think this is edible?
Oh, yeah. Till March, you're good.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think you even can go past that.
Yeah, you probably could, but yeah. With this gunk on the outside, sure. What's gunk. That all
what's
about?
What's it going to hurt?
Jeffrey, there's no problem with that, right?
I was going to ask, Rover, did you become a ping pong master while you were recording your debut album?
A what?
What? A ping pong master while he's recording his debut album?
That was the original five-hour energy drink commercial. It was near the end of it. The guy's play, he goes, I became a ping pong master while recording my debut album. Like, it was hilarious.
Oh, the original five-hour energy
commercial. No, it was one of the earliest commercials I can recall.
From 10 years ago. Yeah.
I know, but it's still funny. Because what'd you do in 5 hours?
How long ago did 5-hour energy come out? About 15, 20 years ago now?
Probably.
Because just even drinking the 5-hour energy, I feel like so 2000 drinking one. Like, I don't... People still buying these things?
They must be. I still see commercials.
I think people like them because it's almost like a shot of espresso. Like, it's not a lot you got to get down. You can almost just slam it, and then it's like, all right, I'm set.
You can slam it, and there's no... I mean, there's really no calories in this. There's four calories in this bottle.
Since 2004, it was launched.
And they do work. That's one of those things, man, you take it, and you can feel it almost immediately.
Well, how much caffeine's in that? Does it say... 200?
Let's see. Caffeine. 200 milligrams.
Okay. It's like 2 cups of coffee.
But they also say that I think it's the vitamin B12 that sort of gives you, like, you feel sort of flush because of the vitamin B12 and that.
Or is it the niacin?
Maybe it's the niacin. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Could be the niacin. You know, yes, Jeffrey, what is it?
I was going to ask Dieter, since he's the expert on Four Loko, how much caffeine's in Four Loko?
I'll have to look that up. Let me see.
You know what? You can hold off on that. Yeah.
No, the reason why is because you said that's what that little bottle's like the equivalent of 2 cups of coffee or espresso, but Four Loko is the equivalent of 10 bottles of wine, 3 cups of coffee. So I'm thinking, about from the aspect of caffeine content.
It's 10 bottles of wine and 1 Four Loko?
No, it's like 3 bottles of wine, 10 cups of coffee, and 4 Loko.
Three bottles correctly. Of wine?
In 1 4 Loko?
Yeah, you remember the 4 Loko used to be those tall cans?
And
the original formula?
It was 3 bottles of wine.
I remember I was here when Dieter went crazy on 4 Loko, if you recall.
Is this something that somebody said?
No, it was in the video that where Dieter makes this video where he goes 4 Loko on
his
ass.
Yeah, I've watched it over and over again.
So in that video, when Dieter is drunk out of his mind, he said it's 3 bottles of wine.
No, it's in the intro of the video right before where Dieter does the rap.
But that's not 1 4 Loko. It's however many he drank might be the equivalent to...
Oh, well, I'm just saying. It's like, well, what he drank, it's equivalent to what he drank. Well, so I'm just saying.
How many times do you watch that video?
I don't know, because it's funny.
How many times?
I can't recall. I haven't watched it recently.
I haven't watched it this week.
Okay, Rover. I'm just saying. But Rover, I figure Dieter is the resident expert on Four Loko. He's had so much of it.
I'll tell you what.
What?
What? I just told you.
Oh.
You know how we talked the other day, or a couple months ago, speaking of exercise and whatnot, you know, during the summer, I was exercising. I was working out. I was running.
You're hitting the weights?
I was hitting the weights. I felt good. Felt really good.
It's like you were training for a competition.
For life or something.
Right, yeah, right.
You know?
For the bedroom.
And around that time, we had a discussion of if I could walk a marathon. And I said, of course.
A full marathon, 26.2?
No problem.
Yeah, I could do that. Definitely.
There's no end to your walking. You could walk an ultra marathon.
Yeah, I don't know how far is an ultra marathon.
I think it's 100 miles.
Well, okay.
It's nonstop. It's just walking to you. You could walk forever.
I think the discussion was if there was $10,000 or $20,000 on the line, I could walk 26.2 miles.
Nonstop in one day.
Yeah, or
but if nothing was
stop,
online,
you could stop. Or I mean, we think we said we could stop for 15, 20 minutes,
or you can't
whatever.
Stop and sleep.
No. It wasn't 15. It was like to go to the bathroom. You could stop to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
You could stop for as long as you want. That was the original thing we talked about. Was that you could
but
stop?
But nobody agreed
there was
with
no,
that part.
There was no.
Yeah, I do remember that being mentioned. We all said, "Well, that's not doing the marathon because you're stopping." Anybody could run a marathon if I did it for 26 days and I just ran a mile a day.
Well, we're not talking about 26 days, but we're
this is a Charlie argument.
Usually walking.
This really is. Yeah.
26
not in a row.
Miles.
Yeah, not in a row. You could just do it over the course of your lifetime. You could eventually end up walking a marathon.
Uh-huh. It was like bathroom breaks. You could sit down for a few minutes, but you had to do it pretty much in one day.
And I go, yeah, if 20 grand, I'll do it.
Okay.
So yesterday, I haven't been since we left for Oktoberfest, which is at the end of September. I literally have done no physical activity, not one workout, nothing. Walks, runs, nothing. Zilch. I've been sitting in my chair at home in my home office pretty much since September, since we got back, since October, since we got back from that trip.
So not one calorie has been burned
since
September.
One.
Okay.
Not exactly.
Okay.
Dieter. Yesterday, I went on a walk. 1 mile. I'm telling you, I could not walk 26 miles in this state.
Oh, you're changing your stance. Okay, so you couldn't do a mile.
Today, I could not. I think when I was back in the summer, I could walk 26 miles.
I think it's clear.
Right now, I could. I'm telling you, I could, not even close. Couldn't
do it. Of course
not. Couldn't do it.
Yes, you're talking about walking. It's not running a mile. You couldn't walk a mile yesterday.
No, I walked a mile, but
you
were
dead.
I'm like, man. My legs are burning.
Okay, you can't do 26,
Robert. Just from walking a mile.
Don't you think that would have happened before when you thought you were in prime condition? You were used to doing, what, a mile or two?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think your legs would start burning after mile 5? Because you're, again, used to only 1 or 2 miles.
No.
You're trained. If you can walk a mile, once you're comfortable walking a mile, you can do 26 miles.
Yeah.
That's a big jump over 1 mile to 26.
For $20,000?
Well, again, you're the one that added all the money. Like, could you just do it to prove to yourself?
No. You wouldn't do it.
Well, the answer is if you could do it.
To prove to yourself.
If I could do it for $20,000 or $100,000, could you do it for $100,000, Charlie?
Well, yeah.
Okay, then you can do it.
No. But I could also cut off my finger for $100,000. That doesn't mean I could actually do it.
You can't do it. And but you just said you could do it for $100,000.
Because I would put
the difference between you can't do it and I can do it for $100,000.
I would ignore like my feet about to fall off. I would be okay with that because I would be like, well,
right?
Because
it's $100,000. In other words, you could do it.
I think there's a difference between you do it just for the love of it? No, you could not. We all agree on that.
The question wasn't could you do this for fun. The question was can you do this. And you just said yes for $100,000.
Because if my nipples started
bleeding. He's admitting. He knows that for $100,000, he could do it.
If my nipples started bleeding so bad and I was just doing it for nothing, I would quit.
Right.
But I would.
But that doesn't mean you can't do it. It means you just gave up. You quit.
What you're saying is dumb.
No, if you could do it.
It's stupid.
If you can't do something, no amount of money would make you be able to do it.
What you're saying is stupid.
For instance.
This is dumb.
Right now, you could say, Rover, I will give you $100 million if you slam dunk on a standard NBA basketball hoop. And I'd say, okay, give me the $100 million if I do it. But there's no way I could do it.
Well, right. You couldn't.
That's impossible.
Right.
Can't be done.
Okay.
Now, if there's something that is possible for enough money and it just requires you to have that money to do it, then it is possible, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Like you're walking.
That's dumb.
No, that's not dumb.
It's really stupid.
So can you do it?
No.
With money on the line?
We all said no.
As of today, no.
No.
But in the summer, I'll be able to do it.
Why not do it then? It'd be easy if I just sat here and said I could do all these things and I just didn't do it. Like, just go walk the marathon.
I'll do it this summer.
Okay.
What do I get in return?
Absolutely nothing. You get
$20,000.
The satisfaction of knowing you could do it.
Yeah, that's what we all want to see. The satisfaction.
Being a man of your word.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Proving us wrong. Because we all say you can't do it.
That might be worth it. That might be worth it.
That's it. I just go, I'm wrong, you're right.
All right.
I'm very surprised. holy crap, you did it. But I'm not going to give you any money for it.
I get nothing out of it?
I'll give you $20 if you do
it. That sucks. Well, I something out of it.
Would it take you think, if you walked this? Because it's a major jump, walking a mile to walking 26 miles.
And we can't start you have to do normal training. You can't start be like, all right, I don't want to find out that leading up to this, you've decided I'm going to walk a 10K every day, and then I'm going to start walking half marathon every day.
This.
You did when you said this last time. You were walking 2 miles a day max.
Okay, fine. I'll get back to the state I was in during the summer.
That's it.
I'll get into that, and then I'll do it.
Wait, perfect. Jeffrey walked what, 11 miles?
Yes.
How long did that take?
That took me about 4.5 hours.
Yeah,
that's 11.
But I only walked 11.6 miles, and plus the fatigue started coming in. Like when I come up Broadview to Rockside,
oh, of course.
That's when the fatigue starts getting where my legs feel like rubber.
He stops for coffee, takes a dump, he takes a selfie.
But you can do that. There's nothing that says you can't do that in this.
This says roughly it's going to take 8 hours just to walk a marathon. That's a long ass time.
It might
bro.
Take 12 hours, Dieter. I might leisurely pace. Why push yourself? The point is finishing, not time when you're walking. Who cares?
Can you get on a treadmill and just walk for 8 hours?
Sure. For 8 hours? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At a leisurely pace? Why not? Why couldn't you?
Because that'd be harder than being outside than like here walking to another city.
Well, you'd just be bored.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Sure.
But you could just do it endlessly.
Or if you'd have blisters all over your feet.
Yeah, I think that's further than you think it is.
That would think about 8 hours. Like a normal work day, it's just walking the whole time.
Okay, yeah.
Shin splints, blisters, nipples bleeding.
What do you think guys in warehouses do? Don't they? I mean, they're on their feet for 10 hours a day, walking around, carrying boxes.
They spent their life
like
doing
this.
That.
Yeah. All right.
What's that, Tom?
I can't hear him. He needs a mic. Jeffrey's got to go get the message and then run back down.
He's just yelling.
Eric, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, what's up, Rover?
Hey.
Hey, this question is for you and Charlie, not Dieter, because I already know his answer. For $100,000, would you sleep nude in a twin bed with Jeffrey?
Oh. Oh.
Wait a second. Is Jeffrey nude,
too? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Jeffrey's nude, too, okay, right?
Oh, yes.
Both
of you are nude.
Twin bed, $100,000.
Jeffrey paid to do it with Dieter.
I mean, yeah, no kidding. If it was...
You know how tight a twin bed is.
Almost any other guy, $100,000 is a lot of money.
Well, I would do this in a second.
Yeah. But with Jeffrey...
Yeah.
You would do it with Jeffrey?
Face to face, or I'm little spoon, I'm big spoon. We can switch it up every 20 minutes. Head to toe. Any way you want.
Boy.
On top of each other. $100,000? 8 hours in the bed?
Jeffrey said he's in.
He's got such a huge bush, and I would just...
Get out of there.
All I could think of...
No, I would not sleep butt naked with another guy in a bed, especially with any of you knuckleheads.
For $100,000?
$100,000?
Not all the money in the world would get me out of there.
Well, how about this offer? $500 in the naked guy's Dieter.
No.
You sure?
That's a pretty sweet
I'm sure.
Deal.
Trust me.
That's
it's
tempting.
A trusted friend. Like I said, with any of you knuckleheads, no. I would not sleep in a double bed with another guy naked. Now, if it was
$100 and you have to
Lizzo
69
Dieter. Or Joan Collins, and then you got something.
Lizzo?
Joan Collins?
You just threw Lizzo in there?
Now you're on the Lizzo train?
Heavy hottie?
Hey, you're an heavy hotties too, aren't you?
Wait,
yeah. All right then.
Wait, you only like what Dieter likes?
No, I just threw that in there just to see.
No, you said Lizzo, and then you said, "Well, Dieter likes him." So, do you like Lizzo, or does Dieter like Lizzo?
Yeah, after a 12-pack and a few shots of JMO.
This is an office conversation.
Yeah, we had this conversation in the office. He goes, "Hey guys, would you sleep with Lizzo?" And I'm like, "Yeah, if I had a 12-pack, a couple shots of whiskey, then I would."
And then he just used that same line.
Exactly. He's like, "Oh, I would do Lizzo."
Wow. Jeez.
I mean, I'd put it this way. I would sleep with Joan Collins for $500.
Who's Joan Collins?
Joan Collins is a famous author.
Is she dead?
No, she's still alive.
She's not. She was an actress. Her sister's the author.
I would say...
Who is she?
On Dynasty or something.
How old is this woman?
She's like 900 years old.
Yeah. She's born in 1933, Jeffrey.
Is she still alive?
She's 86, yes.
I just threw that name in there just for shock value.
Yeah.
To shock you guys.
Whoa.
Well, wait, why don't we, going back to that workout thing, can you, thank you, do the, like a dirty jobs, where Rover steps in, we have you go work at an Amazon warehouse for a day, where you're on your feet, moving boxes, go, or the fence company maybe, putting in fences,
stretching
something
gates.
Along
you're
those
adding
lines.
A whole different level of physical activity.
You don't even do it the
you
whole
You just said how the guys at warehouses do it for 8 hours.
Yeah, but they're doing, this is what I'm saying, they're doing more than a leisurely walk.
But we'd love to
hours.
See you just...
They're carrying things. They're
experiencing what the everyman experiences. I think it would be great.
No, that would suck.
No, it would be great
it's
for
terrible.
You. It would be a great experience for you.
No, it would it suck. Would, That's I why think, I got into so radio, so I don't work, have to do any physical activity.
You think working an eight-hour shift at a warehouse is harder than walking on a treadmill for eight straight
yes.
hours?
Yes, yes,
one yes. shift.
Yes, because those guys are, I mean, doing the physical labor that they're doing, forget even just walking around, they're carrying heavy things. They're moving heavy things.
But it's the monotony. The monotony of that 8 hour nonstop. You're just doing.
In the warehouse, you're getting different size
physical,
boxes.
It's, so you, is it the physical thing that's a problem? Or
Both.
Is it just being
Both.
Bored
there's
for
a
eight hours?
There's a mental aspect
yeah,
to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, Boredom. So then walk 8 hours. You just pick a direction and walk 8 hours. You get to see all sorts of different things on a nice day.
I'd love to see
you
in a warehouse for a day.
Put that weightlifting belt on they wear. Yeah.
If you work at a warehouse right now, I want Rover to work with
last,
you. Call
I will
in.
Tell you right now, I would last approximately 45 minutes before
oh,
I
oh,
go.
Oh, no, Rover, the first
I go,
box.
Forget this. This sucks. I can't. I'm
the
not
first working. Box you heave and put on the shelf, you go, oh, God, yeah. My lower back's tight.
There is something to boredom and monotony because I worked at a factory where my job was I picked up one little thing. I hit on like a burr remover, like and I would drop it in some oil, pull it out, and then start the whole thing over again.
For 8 hours?
That's it, for 8 hours. Oh, I made it to lunch and said, I can never come back to this place again. This is nuts. I'll never be here again. Because it was so boring and repetitive. I don't know how anybody could do that.
Here's a guy that was a meter reader. He says, I was fat and out of shape. Within 3 weeks, I was walking 15 miles a day, no problem.
With breaks. He's probably in the car driving from house to house.
15 miles, 8 hours.
Yeah, it also took 3 weeks. You were talking about just walking out and just start walking a marathon.
No, I just said today I couldn't do it, but during the summer I could do it.
Yeah, but that's with some sort of light training,
fact,
which I don't think you could do anyway.
The amazing thing is actually how, and in a way it's sort of the, it's uninspiring, or it's the opposite of motivating. Because I'm amazed at how quickly your body will
adapt.
Yeah, adapt and how quickly. Like I was walking yesterday, and I'm go, oh my God, my legs feel like jelly. And I go, I can't believe that just a few months ago I was running around this thing like nonstop. And in a way, it's sort of the opposite of motivating because you go, well. It's, you'd be able to get back to that state pretty quickly if you needed to.
Muscle memory. Yeah, in a couple of weeks, it would come back to you. Your muscles remember. Oh, yeah.
But isn't that crazy? Like, it's more with me, it's the, it's not even the muscle memory. It's the stamina. Like, the getting out of breath very easily. Like, when I started running, I could run 100 yards maybe, and I'd go, oh my God, I'm out of breath. I have to stop for 30 seconds. But then in a couple of weeks, you're like running the whole thing. It's really, I find that
well, I always thought stamina incredible. Was how quickly you could recover. Like everybody gets tired after you run 100 yards. It's how quickly you can do it again.
That's your stamina? I thought stamina was how long you could last.
No, I always looked at it in football, like how many times I could do what I was doing over and over again. Like everybody's breathing heavy after they run hard for 100 yards.
Well, you're wrong. Stamina is the ability to sustain prolonged physical or mental effort.
Okay, mental stamina, I guess, then, is the neck being able to keep doing it over and over and over again. Yeah. That's
no, but I think that's more physical stamina. For instance, a guy can run up and down a football field 50 times in a row. That's stamina. I could do it once.
That's a lack of stamina.
Tyreek Hill and you both running 100 yards full speed are both going to be tired at the end.
No.
Of it.
You're
both
are you be kidding
breathing.
Me?
You will that both be breathing no, no. heavy.
Compared
hold
to...
Hold on. Tired is the wrong word.
Dude, you're crazy.
I said tired is the wrong word. You'll both be breathing heavy. Dumb. He will be able to do it again. You will not. That is the definition of stamina.
That's recovery.
No. But his stamina, he could run. That guy's a professional athlete. He could run. His stamina is the fact that we could run as far as we want, as fast as we can, and he could run 1,000 times longer than me. That's stamina.
That's my point, being able to do it over and over
again.
Nonstop. You could just keep going. Say they start at the same line. Rover would have to quit because his stamina would run out. He would just keep going.
Right.
Okay, I guess you could put it
that way. His stamina is that he could run full out, full speed. If you put him and me at a starting line and you said, both of you run full speed for as long as you can, as far as you can, I would be gassed. And boy, running full speed, that's something I didn't even do that when I was like running. That will take it out of you real quick.
Yeah, 20 yards be out.
Yeah. That guy, so I would be gassed. Let's say I run, I don't know, however long you think he could do it. That guy could do it 50 times longer, don't you think?
I guess I'm thinking about it in the context of sprints, because that's what I guess most of my exercise was revolved around sprints in sports. So I guess that's maybe why I'm thinking of it that way. When you do a lot of long distance running.
Here's some guy says, look up stamina versus endurance. Well, I don't know. What's endurance then?
Endurance running would be people who can run for a long time, right? Isn't that an endurance? A marathon runner is an endurance runner?
Nonstop.
Give me the definition of endurance.
Oh, you pulled that up. It's funny how you quick to pull, knock me down, but can't back me up real quick.
Well, actually, when you type in endurance or stamina, endurance comes up. So hold on.
It's to me, they're synonyms. This guy's Brad's goes, you're talking about endurance, not stamina. It's the same thing.
I'm reading. Okay, the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Endurance.
All right, so the mental, that's more what Dumb is talking about, is endurance.
Yeah.
Endurance, the original, continued ability. There you go, that's it. Same idea.
Where do you see that? Well, whatever, yeah. Okay. Yes.
All right, I have to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on. Rover. Heart Radio Station.
WMMS. It's growing. It's expanding. It's pulsing. It's coming to a city near you.
Dude, what the f*** are you guys talking about?
It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Hey, get your mind out of the gutter, man. Come on.
Matt in Rochester, New York. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Matt.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
How's it going? So I just wanted to comment on your walking the whole 26 miles thing. You could totally do that easily. Easily. I used to work in a Rochester warehouse here for Walmart. And any given night, just doing my job, I could walk that easily.
But you probably couldn't go from being a fat couch slob to walking 26 miles just overnight, correct?
Well, I mean, have you been in the Walmart lately? I mean,
well,
some of the people that.
But yeah, I mean, you working as you sort of worked up to. I mean, you were used to doing that. You didn't just pick some guy off the street and go walk 26 miles. It would be harder for them. But I agree with you, Matt. It's definitely possible. I'll do it this summer.
Yeah,
just to prove Charlie wrong. Thank you, Matt.
I'm excited for it.
I looked up the average walking distance at a day at Disneyland is 10 miles. So if you walk 10 miles at Disneyland, and that's pretty leisurely, why couldn't you walk 26 miles?
Because my legs really hurt after Disneyland. I think we all were in pain after Disneyland when we went. And it was 10 miles. It's half. Yeah. There's a lot of breaks in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's half. So
if you wanted
to keep going, don't you think you would be able to keep going?
Where did I walk? I think it was 14 miles in Colorado, up a mountain.
Yeah, you're going up a mountain.
Still, it was...
Dude, going uphill for 14 miles is
I almost quit and laid down and was going to have to call a helicopter to evac me out or something.
Because the medevac you
from me? So bad. It was so bad. Like every step, I'm wincing in pain, and it was so awful. And half that was downhill, so I only walked up, you know, 7 miles, 7 miles back down. And
walking still, uphill for 7 miles,
it was rough. It was
that's
really, really bad. Where I
difficult.
Seriously, almost had to call somebody. And then the next day, I was in so much pain, I almost had to use a wheelchair. I couldn't move. So you doing 26 miles? I don't know, man.
All right. Speaking of marathons, tell me what a scam this is. The Tokyo Marathon is taking place next month. And you know how these marathons, they have a few of the world's elite runners. But most of them are just schlubs that like, you know, running or proving that they can do it.
Yeah.
People like Doogie, in other words. You know what I mean? There are 37,000 people that ran in last year's Tokyo Marathon. But now what's going on in Asia right now? Pop quiz.
Coronavirus.
That's right, yeah. So the Tokyo Marathon, they say, hey, you 37,000 people that signed up for this year's marathon, we're not letting you run. We're only having the elite athletes, like the world-class athletes, where there's money on the line. I'm guessing it's probably, I don't know the number, 500 or so maybe?
To win that?
Give or take.
With how many people are going to run?
No. How many people are going to run? Right.
Yeah, 500.
Yeah. I'm guessing. If there's 37,000 people running in a marathon, I don't think more than 500 are elite athletes, are they?
Probably not.
So they're only letting the elite athletes run, and that's because of this coronavirus. They're worried all these people getting together, you get infection, whatever.
It's actually only 200 people to run.
Oh, 200. Yes. So only 200 people are in this year's Tokyo Marathon. Okay, fair enough. That might be a prudent decision. The problem is all the people who registered and signed up and paid their registration dues for the Tokyo Marathon, they go, you can defer that to next year, but we're not going to issue you a refund.
Go screw yourself right there.
I mean,
that's a lawsuit.
I'm thinking.
That's also amazing. You have to pay anything. It's the road. What are they doing? What are they providing?
Well, they do close the road down, and they they give you that little number, that bib.
You could do that. I could do that on my own. I mean, so, no. And how much is it? How much do you usually pay? I couldn't believe what Doogie told me once what it cost
to run. I'm guessing to run in the Tokyo Marathon, it's probably like $200 or something.
Yeah, it's $150.
Is it?
Give me that money back.
And they're not going to refund people that money. And I read that CNN, and I go, wait a second. How do you not refund that money? How could that possibly be legal? I don't know what the laws in Japan are.
It's probably too much work. So just defer it to next year. Next year you can do it.
Okay, but that's like saying Ozzy Osbourne canceled his tour this year in North America because he has Parkinson's and he's getting treatment. What if they said to all those people that bought tickets, they go, we'll let you go next year if he comes to tour, but no refund for you. No one would stand for that, would they?
No, yeah, they would. They'd wait for next year.
So. I wouldn't.
No.
Oh, come on, it's Ozzy.
No.
So I went to go see Kanye once, and he canceled because his TV broke or something. And I believe I got my money back for that. And then I bought a new ticket to go see him in Detroit or something. Yeah, somebody, if you pay for something and you don't get it, F off.
You know, and I would say, if the marathon, if it were rain or a hurricane or something like that came, I go okay,
sudden, yeah, like really sudden,
yeah.
If they had to cancel that day, maybe, because the coronavirus got so out of control. But no,
you're already out there. Like, all the runners are already there. They travel there. They, okay, you don't get, you know, but...
This is a month in advance, right? How long in advance?
Yeah, I mean, weeks in advance. Think of all the people that probably, you know, there are some of these people that enjoy running in marathons, so they'll go, they live here, but they go to the Tokyo Marathon. They're flying.
To do that, it's $165 to enter if you're not from Japan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like 300 for the New York Marathon, and it says, I think, over 350 if you're not a U.S. citizen.
Sounds racist, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have we heard anything about the Olympics? Because that's Tokyo this year. That's like, what, summer, right?
No, I haven't heard anything other than what Doogie said in the news the other day, which is that they are planning to go forward with it.
What if they do that? They say, no, nobody can come watch the Olympics. You bought the tickets.
And imagine if, like, Pepsi sponsors the Olympics and they go, Pepsi, we're canceling the Olympics, but we're not going to give you your money back. You can defer it for 4 years from now, though. Next Summer Olympics, we'll let you know, just put your sponsorship then. You think Pepsi would stand for that?
No.
Of course not.
You should go this year, Rubber.
To the Olympics?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to the Olympics, but I don't think I'm going to be traveling to Asia.
Oh, okay.
Because of this coronavirus. My mom just got back from the Philippines yesterday.
Oh, she made it back.
Yesterday, the day before, yeah. She made it back. She was in the Philippines, and she had to spend 24 hours in Hong Kong. She did send me a photo of her and my stepdad both wearing masks. They had the masks on for their trip from the Philippines to Hong Kong and Hong Kong to the U.S. So they were wearing the masks, and I don't know if it does any good, but I mean, you probably, you could have this virus and not know it. Did you see what they did? They evacuated the Americans off of that cruise ship. You remember the woman that we talked to? She's in the hospital, but they evacuated all these Americans off that cruise ship in Japan, and they've been already quarantined for 2 weeks, and just more and more people kept getting the virus. So they go, okay, we're going to evacuate you off this ship and fly you back to the United States. So they put everyone on these buses, and then they put everyone into this cargo plane. And after they put everyone in the cargo plane, they realize I don't know how this is possible. That's when they got the results back that two of the passengers actually had, that they're in the buses in the plane, actually have the coronavirus. So now they've infected everyone else.
Oh, obviously. They weren't quarantined on the plane?
Yeah, well, you know what they did? They put up a tarp.
Oh.
On the cargo
plane. That prevents everything. Yeah,
but they've already been on the bus,
right,
crammed in the little bus to get to the plane, and then that's when they figured out, two of these passengers that are already on the bus with all the other passengers, we just got the results back, they're positive. Should we let them get on the plane? And they go, well, we're already on the bus with everyone. Let's just put them on the plane.
Nice.
So, all right. I've got to take a break. If you're listening to us on a station that only carries a show until 10 a.m. Eastern, you can continue listening or watching live for free at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. For everyone else, we'll be right back after this. Hang on.
iHeart Radio station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeart Radio weekdays at 7 a.m.
You're asking for it.
Well, you are kind of asking for it.
You are asking for it.
Because you're listening to Rover's Morning Glory. Welcome back.
In Australia, he's a former rugby player. I was just reading this article. Did you see this, Dieter? I don't know when this happened, but this guy is going through, a tough time with his wife. This guy, Rowan Baxter is his name, 42 years old. So he has a wife and three kids. The kids are all young. 6 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old. He took a can of, he had the gas station, or the petrol station as they call it there, filled up a gas can with petrol, and then doused the car with it.
Okay.
Set it on fire with the wife, the kids, and him inside. He stabbed himself, apparently. People started running over to the car trying to help out, because they see all these kids in there burning up, and The wife gets out of the car. She's like, he poured gasoline on me. And she's all burned up. She's on fire. Jeez. And she's yelling and screaming. So people are trying to rescue these kids out of the burning car. And the rugby player, former rugby player, fights them off, prevents them. All dead. Burned up. The wife, dead. Kids, dead. Him, dead.
Why don't they open the door?
You're well, in the car. I think they did. They got out. I mean, the wife got out, but she still, you know, she's all burned up. He put the gas on the car and then just put a match to it. Or
the outside lighter. Of the car or the inside of the car is on fire?
Oh, that's a good question.
If it's the outside Rover and he lights it, you see this, you get out.
Just says he set the family car alight.
Who did it?
The husband.
Rugby player.
The former rugby player. Yeah.
I thought you also said he was trying to go in there to save him, too.
No, he was fighting off people trying to save them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Once you try to...
She put all these kids in the, like I said, 3 years old, 4 years old, and 6 years old. She's taking them to school. She got them in the car seats. This guy just jumps in, lights them all on fire. They were going through a custody battle after they separated. Wow. What a douche. To put it mildly, obviously. I mean... a neighbor said that the poor wife, she was, you know, she was alive for a while outside the car. She knew what had happened. She was entirely conscious and aware of what happened. Skin was peeling off her, and she held her hands up. Bits of skin were hanging off. It was really quite horrific.
This guy was a rugby player, right?
Yeah.
Possible CTE. Lost his mind.
Oh, God. This again?
No. This is what these guys do. They lose their mind. They can't make rational decisions. That's part of the problem
with it.
Chris
Benoit.
Right.
The wrestler?
Yeah. The wrestler.
You think that was... Okay.
Oh, I'm wondering. The rugby, I mean, they don't even wear helmets. And they're
it's possible, CTE.
Oh, okay, if
that's,
you want to do that.
That's possible. It's also possible he's just an asswipe.
You're very right. I agree. You're absolutely right. It just seems that... We're hearing a lot more, maybe just because was an athlete, we're hearing about it. I imagine these things happen every day from people who weren't athletes, but it makes you wonder if there's something to it. I wonder if they'll cut his head off and check his brain out or whatever.
He's probably burnt to a crisp right now.
Well, this happened in the street, it looks like.
Yeah, right in the street. Yeah, there
it
is. Did
he get out and pour it, and they were just sitting in there going, what are you doing?
I think she was strapping him into the car seat, and had just gotten into the car. According to the article that I read. So she puts them in the car, all the kids in the car seats. She just gets in the car to, like, back out of the driveway. And I don't know if he doused the car on the outside, but, I mean, she got out. She's like, he poured gasoline all over me, petrol. And a neighbor says, as I came to the front after calling Triple O, word to the wise, if you're ever in Australia, don't dial 911. I guess it's Triple O.
Okay.
I saw her. She was smoking, and her body was smoking and on fire. Others were attempting to put out the fire to save the children who were still trapped inside, but then the guy attempted to stop them.
Then you juke the guy.
The rugby player.
Can't you out-juke him?
He was angry and going absolutely crazy.
Yeah, out-juke a rugby player.
Do something.
Was he on fire, though? You. It's his job.
Was he on fire, though?
Did he stab himself? I think he's on fire. I think he's stabbed. I think here's him and the, it's him and his wife and the three kids. Those are the three kids that he burned up. What an idiot.
Looks like a normal dude.
Yeah. Well, if you see some of these other ones, he's like kind of jacked. I saw some other photos of him. Maybe it's on their website.
Roids?
Yeah. They had a business called, let me see if I can find it. It was called Integrate Fitness or something. Let me see if I can find. And the picture of him on there, you go. Oh, this guy looks like.
I had no idea. Speaking of roids, how quickly they work. I ran into a guy who I hadn't seen in probably maybe 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah.
And he was massive, just jacked. Swollen arms, chest.
Six months.
Big dude. It was a complete turnaround from what in 6 months. There's no way anybody... That's fast to me to go from what this guy was to the jacked that he is. And then I kind of... You just BSing for a second. I said, hey, are you on roids, dude? And he goes, ah, I'm on testosterone. Yeah, yeah. So he's on the test. Yeah, so he said that that will do the same thing, and it made him, and we were asked if there are any side effects. Charlie, do you remember what the side effects were? Because you were there.
Well, no, I actually don't. Little balls?
Yeah, well, he said that his hair is falling out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everything's going fine. His hair's falling out. His balls haven't shrunk, though. That's all, good. You know, yeah, so his good. Balls are fine, but, you know, every other thing, no, you know, back, knee, hair falling out, every other bad thing you could have.
But his arms look sweet.
But he looks great.
There was a guy I ran into, and it was back over the summer when I was working out, and I ran into this guy, and he was trying to get me to get onto steroids. He was a big proponent of steroids. He claims that they're completely safe. You just don't know how to use them, Rover. All these other idiots that have health, they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, don't abuse them, just like anything.
Yeah.
Caffeine.
You also have to know that afterwards, he said that when he's done with this, he has to take, I think he said, breast cancer pills?
What?
He has to take estrogen pills or something like that? Or estrogen blockers?
Yeah, because when his test goes up, estrogen goes up.
So he has to take blockers. And I don't remember, if his hair will grow back or once it's gone, it's gone.
I think he said it grows. I think he said it grows back, I believe, because it's like a hormonal, thing versus like his follicle stopped working.
Well, why is he taking it then, just for the 6 months?
Just to get jacked, I think.
And then it come off.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but then you don't stay jacked, do you? Because the guy that I saw, he used to... you guys have met this guy. He was the boyfriend of someone that we kind of know through the show. And I don't know how I could tell you without... Anyhow, this guy was huge. And then when I saw him, he wasn't as huge. That's because he's off of the steroids for the time being. So don't you just shrink right back
pretty
down,
much.
Dieter?
I mean, you might keep some, but... Oh, yeah.
What happens to, like, your breasts? Do you grow breasts if you do that? Because they're all stretched out, and you have muscle there, but when the muscle goes away, the skin just stays flat.
But then
right?
I think it's that estrogen. If your estrogen goes up, that's what makes you grow the boobs.
Well, I'm just saying just natural flabbiness. Once you stretch your body out with all these muscles, the skin goes back?
Skin is fairly elastic. It's not like Dumb, when Dumb was 400 pounds, he was huge. Mm-hmm.
Testing the limits.
But, I mean, if you gain 10 pounds, 15 pounds, and then you shrink back down, your skin's not, you know, you don't just have skin flapping all over the place.
Do dudes ever get stretch marks from...
Oh, yeah.
From this test or testosterone or steroids because it stretches out?
Oh, yeah. They're muscles, yeah. You've never seen guys with stretch marks? Right, Dieter?
Yeah, it happens quickly over time, yeah. Especially like in like your shoulders, by your armpits.
Okay.
If it's that quickly that you grow, yeah.
You want to get on a cycle with me,
Charlie?
I'd love
to do a cycle, but I always hear about all the bad things. And I feel like if you just do it, it doesn't work unless you work out, right?
I think you still gotta work out.
You gotta lift some weights.
Something easier than that. Yeah. Something I can just inject.
Wouldn't you think by science by now would have figured that out somehow?
Of course.
Like for guys like you and me who don't want to do any physical activity but would like to look like Dieter?
The Dieters of the world stop it because it's too much of an easy out.
So it's a big workout conspiracy?
Flex magazine.
They have the potion to make us all big and fit.
But the government doesn't want that.
That's right.
Big
Jim.
Yeah.
Big Jim doesn't want it. They want you paying the $25 a month to keep going to their gym.
We could, usurp the government at that point. We could stage a coup because we're all super soldiers.
We can do that Synthol stuff where you shoot it into your muscle directly, that oil.
Uh-huh.
You get those huge Popeye arms.
Yeah, that looks good, like that guy in Russia.
There you go. You don't have to work out at all with that crap.
Tell me how bad this is, and why would they not have cut this out of her show? Wendy Williams.
Oh.
So Wendy Williams, who must be mentally unstable, obviously. She's a lunatic.
I've never really watched her for longer than, like, the clips we play.
It's impossible.
I don't understand the love for her. It's like listening to the Shizzy. It's all over the place. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I didn't know this was what her show was until I watched it a little bit today.
And she seems like she's getting crazier as time goes on.
She is getting crazier. I watched this show. I never really seen it. I watched it. I was home one day early. I don't know what time it comes on.
After the show, I think it's on.
Like at 11 o'clock. So for some reason, I was at home very early. and I put on the TV and I saw her television show and I was horrified. I go, I cannot believe anyone would watch this.
Or sit in the audience for it.
Yeah.
It's all women. If you look, there's no men in the audience.
But still, I don't understand how a woman could watch. Like, The View is at least watchable. There's multiple people talking. It's coherent.
Opinions.
Yes, yeah. This is just gibberish.
Yeah, I
didn't know
you.
This was on every day.
So she's talking about this woman, and I don't have the woman's name right here in front
of me. Says it all. I start the clip right at the beginning.
This woman who was engaged to Drew Carey.
Amy Harwick.
Okay. She's a sex therapist and something else, but she was just murdered, not by Drew Carey, obviously, but by someone else. And Wendy Williams is explaining the story, and I'm going to play it for you here. And she makes reference to how this woman was at one point engaged to Drew Carey, who is the host of The Price is Right. And listen to this, Wendy Williams describe the murder of this poor woman. Listen.
Drew Carey's ex-fiance was tragically murdered over the weekend. Look, it was like three.
Is that a real reaction?
No! I think it says gasp. They have a gasp, like, meters, or like the applause meter or whatever.
Because that's just a completely,
nobody knows this woman.
I agree. It's not like Wendy Williams just broke news. Everyone's sitting in the, you know, with no cell phones, they're sitting in the studio and they have no idea what's going on in the outside world. And Wendy Williams goes, the president of the United States was just killed.
Yeah, no, it's
someone might gasp then. Mm-hmm. But just to say, someone who used to be a fiance of someone famous years ago has died. Yeah. Anyhow, so I don't know how they get that reaction out of the audience, but here, let me start over.
Drew Carey's ex-fiance was tragically murdered over the weekend. It was like 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. Uh-huh. And there was screaming in the neighborhood in L.A. She lived with a girl roommate, and the roommate heard the screaming. The neighbors all around the neighborhood heard the screaming, and they called 911. Once the cops got there, she was down there dead on the ground. Yep, was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down. Why are you putting allegedly? This story is everywhere.
She says, come on down. She wasn't killed by Drew. Come on down. And she's mimicking watching her fall from the balcony because she was pushed off a balcony. That's how she was murdered. So her eyes are like, you know, that's what she's doing there. And then as everyone, the reaction from the audience, now that's a real reaction right there. The audience, they're like, ooh, that's a real gasp. So Wendy Williams picks up on this, like, ooh, the audience is turning on me. And so then she tries to turn it back around and be like, why are you putting allegedly in this story? Like, this guy's been arrested.
She starts
like,
to throw her producer, whoever, under the bus to just try to gain anything. This is a real interesting tactic.
Yeah, here, so listen.
I'll give you a little backstory. So she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down. Why are you putting allegedly? This story is everywhere. All right, lawyer lady, she threw allegedly in there.
Hasn't been convicted. The ex-boyfriend hasn't been convicted.
He's been arrested.
Correct.
He's in jail as we speak.
Correct.
All right. Allegedly. Allegedly, the ex-boyfriend did it. All right. They were dating for a moment and then...
How weird is that? It's a dumb joke.
It's a dumb joke, yeah. I don't think she should be fired or anything for it. It's a dumb joke.
It is. But was it in there or did she just throw it in? Was it on the teleprompter?
I think she threw that in.
You think so?
Because at that moment, she would have blamed that on the producer. She's like, she would have said, why did you write that? I can't believe I just said that. Instead, she blamed the allegedly thing, trying to just grasping at anything at that point.
I think she delivered it a little bit better, too, if she had it pre-thought out. Because she already said come on down first, and then she kind of circled back on it. It didn't really make sense. You even had to explain it to people that are only listening.
Wow.
But she moved on. She's like, Drew Carey, but then the ex come on down. She already started moving past Drew Carey.
Yeah.
No, that was her just going off the cuff.
Just to her and then comedic nobody chops there on display.
And nobody laughed.
Could you?
Because the poor girl was just murdered.
Yeah.
Maybe the light burned out on the applause sign or something.
Mm-hmm. Can you understand the story she even told, though? It really is like a shizzy story. It is all over the place.
Oh, the time that I watched this show, it was, and it's weird because I watched it and I go, this is so weird. And then a week later, she was off the air with like, oh, I'm having a medical condition.
Where she passed out?
Right. But really, she's having some sort of mental breakdown. She's a lunatic.
She really is.
Does she have any ratings?
I don't really, where is she from? I don't really know who she is.
New York. All I know is that she used to be on the radio. Maybe she's still on the radio. She used to be a morning radio person, I think, on a hip hop station.
Shock jockette.
Is that what she is? Mm-hmm. Is that what she was? I didn't know that, but
I feel like she's like Netflix. She just wants to stay in the news every week. It's something.
You literally just took the words right out of my mouth because I see her when I'm looking for show prep and stuff. I see a new story about her almost every day. A new thing that Wendy Williams did said or outrageous things she's involved in. I believe she has a PR team that's just putting stuff out there, good, bad, or otherwise. This one might not be in this case. But
I would pass on this one if I were Wendy Williams. I don't need that publicity.
I agree, but I really, truly believe that she has a team out there that's just pumping information about her every day. You're right, Dieter, a different story about her.
That would be like the story I just told you about the rugby player who killed his wife and his three kids, burned them up in the car. Like if I started cracking jokes about the three-year-old who's burning up, you know?
Singing Burning Down the House or something.
Yeah. Jeez, Charlie, too soon.
I'm saying that's an example of something that would be wrong.
Well, like we did a story on air years ago about there's some Amish guy that lost his mind, I believe, and shot up his family.
Okay.
Jazzy Jim played shooting sound effects, and people were very upset about that.
I don't recall
that. Do you remember that? Dieter, do you vaguely even remember that? It was in, I don't remember where it happened, but there was an Amish guy.
I'm just waiting for Dumb to freak out and tell me that we don't appreciate the contributions that DJ Jazzy Jim used to make to the show 17 years ago.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember that. Everything Jazzy Jim did was great. I remember everything he did 15 years ago.
Why would I care if you remember Jazzy Jim stuff? I don't care.
I remember the Weird Al Yankovic interview. Remember that? That one sour? Because we were talking about his parents just died recently.
Yeah, too soon joke. Yep, you're right.
That was not us. That was a guy who worked on our show.
Right.
Who, Jonathan was his name. Right. I don't remember exactly what he said, but
I do. He goes, what a gas.
I went to a Weird Al concert once. It was a gas.
How did his parents die?
CO poisoning.
Carbon monoxide. Gas.
Poisoning.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Wow. And this was literally the first interview he had given since his parents died.
And they had expressly asked us not to talk about it in the interview because it is very, very top of mind for Al.
It was literally the first interview that he had done. And this idiot on the show.
It's one of the, actually, he came on again years later, and you rarely apologize for anything that happens on this show. You actually apologize to Weird Al for what Jonathan said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for making jokes at people's expenses or my own expense or anyone's having thick skin. But there is a limit.
Well, the parents just died.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Weird Al, he was pretty upset, obviously.
Did he hang up?
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then I think Jonathan was let go shortly thereafter, right?
I quit this bitch.
You're going to have to refresh my memory, because Dumb was so angry that I didn't remember whatever, he ate 96 tacos 15 years ago. I go, I don't remember that, and he got really upset.
I quit this bitch.
But refresh my memory of how Jonathan
Did he quit or was he fired or what happened?
Well, he, oh man, there was a lot of stuff back and forth that we would get information about him off air and his antics at bars and, you know, trying to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Oh my God. You know, there's one thing I don't mind. You get some free perks here, working on the show. Sometimes you go to a bar and they'll give you a free drink or something or. Whatever.
Is this the velvet rope guy that you said he would call ahead?
No, that's Lunchbox.
Yeah, no, different guy. But, you know, I always felt like there's a... I don't mind if, Dieter, you get a free drink because someone's a fan of the show.
I'll take it.
That's fine. But if you start showing up places asking for a free drink because you're on the show, no, we're not going to stand for that.
Yeah, pigs get fatter, hogs get slaughtered, basically.
Okay, whatever that means. But anyhow, go on.
So, Jonathan, he had all these kind of weird hijinks. He had a weird girlfriend that was kind of stuff going on with him, and Jazzy Jim, that was our sound effects guy at the time. There were all kinds of weird stuff going on off air with them. And then we started grilling Jonathan on air about it. And then it got to the point where he kind of shut down, and we'd kind of all had enough of him. So every single time he told a joke, Jazzy Jim would play the buzzer sound effect.
Yeah, that started with him.
Right.
Anytime he made a stupid joke, Jim's whole job for that day was just to buzz him.
Was to buzz Jonathan.
You want to play anything
Doesn't
else.
Doesn't matter how hilarious it might have been. It's just...
And Jonathan finally snapped one day and had enough of it, understandably. And then he stood up. And it was right after this woman said this.
I quit this bitch.
Inetta the mood said it. I do remember her.
She quit live on air, said that.
Yeah, a woman who quit on the radio. She just went on the air and just said, I quit this bitch. And
listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
So, I don't know. The next week, we had played that clip. You know, we were playing it a lot at that point. And then he finally was in the middle of arguing with us. And he just stood up and he said,
I quit this bitch.
And walked out the door. We didn't say a word.
Thinking we'd be like, no, don't. No, don't leave.
And we all just sat there silently. And by the time the door closed, we laughed so hard out loud. Every one of us with this huge belly laugh. And then he came crawling back in about 2 minutes later saying, really, guys, nobody's even going to say anything to us.
He had some... I don't know what his issues were. He was a weird guy.
He really was. Yeah, he is a interesting person, I mean, to say the least.
And this is coming from Dumb, who is very weird.
Unique. I'm a unique person, I think you described me as
And that guy was...
He's just kind of a dick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that guy was a strange guy. I'll never forget. I guess he quit or whatever, and then there must have been some sort of meeting afterwards. General manager, I think, asked me, what do you want to do with this guy? Because I think he was, if I recall, and I don't remember 100%, but I think he was trying to be like, don't you want me to stay, like, after the show in this meeting with the general manager? And I'm like, no, like, let's cut this guy loose. Anyhow, so he hated us after that.
Or his antics outside the show. Was it just asking for free drinks, or was it weird?
No, there was
kind of deviant stuff. Stuff that was just kind of beyond the scope of,
well,
you know,
but
the perks.
But there was a lot of the free stuff. There was a lot of going in. I mean, I was getting all sorts of reports from people, and they'd be like, "Some guy came in. He'd only worked on the show for a brief time. Some guy came in, says he works on your show, and wanted to drink for free." I mean, I was getting all sorts of reports about what a dick the guy was.
And with his girlfriend problems, she was saying stuff he was doing to her.
Yeah, there were allegations.
What was he doing to her?
Like being rough, allegedly.
I just remember that the two of them, she was a good-looking girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were doing these weird...
Knife play?
Yeah, these weird things, like sexual things, where he's holding a knife up to her neck and stuff. And, like, that's bizarre. I mean,
this is how weird he was. Him and his buddy had a game where they would just walk up to people and lick the side of their face to see what people would do. Now, I could see Charlie doing something like that in a to cause mischief. This guy's kind of a weird, deviant dude in my mind. I mean, he's maybe, I don't know, maybe he's changed. I don't know what he's like now. But back in the day, he was always doing weird things that we never knew what he was up to. And we certainly didn't want him representing us.
Michelle in Kansas City, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm trying to remember what year this was, but I called into the show back when 2007 or 8, I think, would be my best guess. Was that when he was on the show?
Yeah. Probably end of 2006, beginning of 2007, yeah.
Okay, so it must have been 2007, because that's when I was living in Cleveland at the time, and I was living downtown, and we were on over there in, like, Bridgeview, kind of, like, on the bank of the river there, and they had these big kind of grassy areas, and we would go out there when it was warm, and we would lay out and sunbathe, because you're in Cleveland, you don't want to go to the beach, so... I think he must have lived in the area, and we would run into him all the time. And then one day he was like, hey, you know, let's go hang out, and we exchanged numbers. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Then he leaves, goes back up, and he was living in the same building at the time, and you could see over the grass, and then started texting these very strange propositions, and then would send unsolicited D-picks just right away.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Do you remember? So I called in so many years ago about this. And you guys were like, no way. That's strange. And we were like, no. Like 110%. It was the weirdest, most bizarre situation. Like I said, we had only met him for
maybe. That's right. Forgot about that. There's a whole other subtext that we had going on because, oh, wow. So, yeah, I guess Michelle called and said that he was sending unsolicited D-picks. And this is in the early days of D-picks, 2006, 2007. This is like...
Oh, we're talking flip phones.
Yeah.
D-picks. And we were so mortified. Like, it was... And this was, I mean, you know, again, yeah, before unsolicited D-picks, it was the most mortifying thing. I will never forget that day. I will never forget the phone that I was holding. It's like burned into my brain. It's horrible.
If you were to tell me that guy did something crazy, something weird and like Harvey Weinstein-ish, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. But that's right. I do remember, and maybe it was her that called in. And then I remember confronting him about this. I don't even think it was on the air. Most of the things I confront are on the air, but I think I asked him and he was like, he might have even denied it. But then I started getting other reports from people that at the time we had at roverradio.com, we had messaging and chat room social media kind of stuff built into before like Facebook was big, you know, it was built into the website. And, so then I started getting reports from women that he was sending them, like emailing them and stuff. I've totally forgot about all of that. And then that was right at the very end because I think, had to look at his email. And I was like, dude, you can't be sending out under roverradio.com with your roverradio.com email address. You can't be sending out like D-pics to, I think, questionable age girls.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I forgot about all that stuff. Wow. You have a good memory, Dom.
Well, he would do a recap song every week, too, that he would put like a ton of work into because that was like his thing. He would write parody songs about stuff.
Yeah.
And he would every week, like Monday, he would do a recap of, or I don't remember when we did it, either Monday morning or Friday. Was it Fridays to recap what had happened all week long? And it would take him a while to write a song about the whole week. And it might have been that we buzzered one of those, and that was the last straw for him. I can't remember for sure, but we actually... I don't know if you even know this, Rover. Are you about to say what I think you're about to say? Go ahead.
I would come in and run Best Of. You know, everybody be off, but I'd come in and run old clips.
Yeah.
Well, Jazzy Jim would come in, too, on his days off. He'd come in, run the sound effects. I'm playing old clips before... Jonathan was buzzed after every line. So some of the old clips, Jonathan wasn't buzzed. So I'd pot up the sound effects, and Jazzy Jim would buzz him live on these old clips.
On Best Of.
Yes, he has to play an old clip. So we just wait for him to talk, and then and we would do that for the whole 4 hours. Any line he had.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Jim was even getting paid. This is his day off. He's like, I'll come in. I'll come in. This movie buzzing.
Jim hated Jonathan.
Yeah.
What was it that I was about to tell you, though? There was some story I was about ready to tell you about him. And then we got sidetracked by that woman and her story. I don't even remember.
One of his buddy, he had maybe stories with him and his buddy.
I don't remember. Oh, no. I remember. So then he, I don't know if he got iced, if he quit. I don't remember exactly if you look at, in technical terms of what actually his state of exit was. But he then hated us. And I'll never forget, it was March of 2008, and a news story came out, and it said, Rover exits CBS Radio. Now, anyone in the industry knew why we were exiting CBS. We had accepted a very large contract from what is now iHeartMedia to switch radio stations and come over here. CBS was begging to keep us, literally on their hands and knees, crying to keep us. And this guy sent an email and he's like, I knew your time would come. You suck. I'm going to laugh now that you're out of a job. And it was such a mean-spirited email. And I just replied to that email, I think, like a week later with a link to the story of how we made this big change to what's now iHeartMedia and big contract. And I think I was just equally as douchebaggy back to him. What a dick.
Did he say anything back?
Did not respond, No. Ah, well, I'm sure he's doing fine.
You can respond now and mention what he's doing these days. If you have a video that Charlie, I just believe, just put in your folder.
Let me look.
It's saving right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah,
sorry. He said go. He said I got it ready.
And that was
go.
A weird thing. Like, he wasn't a bad looking guy, but he was like doing really creepy things with chicks. Like that chick who just called. Like, he was almost like, and I'm not making any accusations, but he was like almost an Al Bundy, or not Al Bundy.
Al Bundy?
Not Al Bundy. Ted Bundy kind of guy.
Former high school football player?
No. Ted Bundy was like a good looking guy, charming guy, and then he was chopping chicks up and, you know.
Oh.
Because you wouldn't expect that a guy would just do those weird sorts of things, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of use the word deviant, because it just seemed like that's what he was into, kind of subculture, BDSM kind of stuff. And I obviously don't know what was going on exactly in his personal life, but from what we were hearing and what he kind of alluded to here and there, that seemed like what his thing was.
Yeah. What do you have?
It's still saving for some reason. I'm having issues here.
Jeez. All right. Well, let me take a break.
Go.
We'll come back. We'll wrap everything up. Maybe or maybe not. We'll have that. Excuse me. I don't know. We'll tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus. And we'll give some stuff away right after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Radio Station. You can ask Alexa to play Rover's Morning Glory on iHeartRadio. This is WMMS. Previously on Rover's Morning Glory.
Oh, no!
It continues. Now.
All right, we're going to wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus in just a moment. And we'll give some stuff away. Charlie, what is... Did you pull a
video it's in there now. Yeah.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called Jonathan.
Jonathan.
I was just seeing, you were wondering what he's up to now.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Here it is.
I think it's a string.
So he's doing karaoke on the street?
Yeah. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, and Ryan has got. Are you going to send an email laughing at him? Maybe you can send a letter to that bus stop.
No, I the older I get, the less I hate people. Well, actually, I take that back. The more I hate people, the older I get, but the less personal I take my hatred. Meaning, I wish this guy nothing but the best.
Good, because he needs it.
Where's this at? On the street in Chicago?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, all right. What's this 5-hour energy commercial? What is that?
This is the one Jeffrey quoted.
Oh.
This morning. He asked if... Well, you can just play it.
Oh, I thought this was Jonathan in there or something.
No, it's just Jeffrey's quote.
Want to know what I did in the last 5 hours? I played a round of golf. And then I read a book while teaching myself how to play guitar. Ran 10 miles while knitting myself a sweater. Jumped out of a plane. Finally, I became a ping pong master while recording my debut album. How, you ask? 5-hour energy. I get hours of energy now, no crash later. Wait to see the next 5 hours.
All right, there you go.
That was the line he said. I played ping pong.
How does he remember this from 15 years ago?
Just the one line.
What do I have to give away, Flatitude?
Well, Jeffrey had a comment first, if you want to get to that.
What is it, Jeffrey?
No, it's just I thought it was one of the funniest commercials I saw, and the part where he goes, became a ping pong master, and he goes, I'm recording my debut album, just sort of stuck in my mind.
The way that's the funniest commercial you've ever seen? Better than the Ship Your Pants commercial?
Never heard of that one.
Oh, come on.
You've never
that
seen
the big one.
It was Kmart.
That's the best one.
That is the best commercial.
Is there a commercial that's better than that one?
It's one of the funniest commercials I've seen. Let me rephrase it. It was one of the funniest commercials I've seen. And the other funny commercial I remember watching is a Summer's Eve commercial where the guy doesn't realize, guy's taking a shower, doesn't realize he's using it's a product that a woman uses. Uh-huh. So he does all this crazy alpha male stuff to prove that, you know, it's hilarious.
It sounds hilarious. All right, Flatitude, what do I have to give away?
All right, you can win tickets to WWE SmackDown. That's Friday, April 17th at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. See all your favorite superstars. And, tickets go on sale Friday, February 21st at 10 a.m., but you can get your pair now. Caller 30, 1-866-YO-ROVER. That's 1-866-967-6837. Get a pair of tickets to WWE SmackDown, April 17th, downtown at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
All right, caller 30, 866-YO-ROVER. Good luck to you. Here's someone who says, I was one of those 16-year-old girls.
16?
Charlie, what do you have coming up in the aftermath?
We're going to talk about Jeffrey's son's very strange sleep schedule. We'll talk about Dom crapping in a shower and then mushing it into the drain.
With his toes.
And we'll talk about Rover walking a marathon. All that and more coming up on the aftermath.
All right. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live there on the website or with the Rover Radio app. We will be back live tomorrow morning. Your best friend, Doogie, will be back here as well. Have a great day. It's Rover's Morning Glory. Bye.